Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? It's a great day. It's another great day in the neighborhood. That's right. Well, man, I'm telling you, we got a show for you today. And you know what? It's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Today we're going to be talking about CPS. And a hidden agenda, because, man, there's some things going on with CPS, and yes, we're going to be talking about that. So if you want to be a part of the show today, no problem. Just give us a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and we can get you in, and we can have some fun. You get in on the conversation as well. Now, you know, I'm telling you, man, it's a wonderful day. It's nice and beautiful where I am, and I'm feeling pretty good. But I'm a calm good today. You know what I mean? So that's even better. And to my beautiful co-host, depends on how close you are. Now, but anyway, you know, man, this week has been a whole lot of fun, a whole lot of great conversation going on, and we want to continue that because, I mean, it's been nice and civil, and, man, you can't ask for anything better than that, can you? I know, right? Oh, man, I'm telling you. But you know what? It's all good in the neighborhood. Y'all know today is Wednesday, so we got a jazz for you today. And I don't know exactly what it is because I haven't heard it yet, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. Now, with that being said, how about let's laugh a little. That's right. Because y'all know I always say you have to laugh. You have to laugh sometimes just to make the badness and the meanness go away. Sometimes you just have to laugh, man, because laughing is always good. I'm telling you, I recommend laughter to anybody at all, anybody, man, because laughter is so much fun. And then you know, you're laughing so hard, you forget what you were mad about or what upset you. You know, you're like, man, I'm crazy. I can't believe I'm laughing at this. And you've been forgot everything you're talking about. So, you know, in your daily life, man, always interject some laughter into it. You know, never be so serious that you forget to laugh. Okay, I know I'm saying this at the beginning of the show, but don't worry. I'm going to say it at the end of the show, too. Yeah, like I used to. I don't know what made me stop, but I thought about that today. You know, yeah, you should be thankful. You should really be thankful for the ability to laugh. be able to laugh at yourself. You know, I think that's one of the greatest, that's one of the greatest things you can do, is to be able to laugh at yourself. You know what I mean? Be able to laugh. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at, right? Right. All right. Enough of me rambling and jaw-jacking and all that great stuff. What I want to do now, I'm going to bring my great co-host in. You know, she, man, I'm telling you, this woman here, she has the knowledge, the beauty, and she holds her own on the show, and that's what I love about her. So without further ado, y'all, let's bring her in, my beautiful co-host, Sister Ngozi. Ha ha ha! All right, hey there, beautiful co-host. How you doing today?
I'm fine, Eric, and how are you?
I'm doing so wonderful. I'll tell you, I'm in a very good place right now. I know it's amazing, but I'm in a good place. But it's like a calm, good place. You know, it's not adrenaline led, fed, or anything like that. It's just a nice, calm, good place, and I love that.
Well, good for you. That is a good place to be. I can hear your bubbly, and it's good that it's coming from inside.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's from inside, a nice place, as you say.
Yeah, you know, it's always a good thing. Yeah, it's always a good thing. And like I said, you have to remember, you have to laugh sometimes also. You know, things seem the gloomiest or whatever, sometimes you have to just sit back and just laugh, you know, get a good hearty laugh in. And, man, I'm telling you, it'll take you some places you didn't even know you would go. See, that's why I think that's why I'm always laughing, because I truly believe in laughter to solve a lot of issues. Of course, that's just me talking. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. I be rambling. You ever be in such a good mood that you just ramble? You know, you just go on and go on and go on. Then you think about, like, what the heck am I really talking about? But you're just in that good place, and that's where I am right now, and I'm loving it.
Well, good for you. Yeah, I can relate to that. You know, I don't know. I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm sure there are many people that can also, you know, relate to that, where you just, you know, you have things on your mind, and they just kind of carry you away.
yeah, that is true, man. I'm telling you. So I know you got a great quote for us today, and I know you ready for the show also. You know, I've been reading some of the emails you sent me, so I'm ready as well. See, I'll be on it. I was on it in between bowling last night. I was on it.
Okay. Also, I sent you some a few minutes ago that you might want to consider. They're short, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, that goes along with your topic today.
Oh, Okay. Well, I haven't gotten those yet. But But we'll see if we can get them in during the run of the show.
Well, I'll resend them to make.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they take a little longer than normal, and but other than that, we all good.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what the music director has put together for Jazz Wednesday. You know, that's my day.
Yeah, that's your day. And look, I don't know. I just let her go with it. So I don't know what it is myself. So I'm looking at the switchboard, and it says it's about 8 minutes long, whatever it is. So I'm thinking it's probably pretty good.
I'm sure it'll be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get to the Wednesday Jazz Mix. I don't know, the family taking a little while to get in today. We must be having some BTR issues, but it's okay. We're going to be all right. Of course we are. All right, y'all. So without further ado, we're going to go on and knock out this Wednesday Jazz Mix. So are y'all ready? Here it is, your Wednesday Jazz Mix. All right, y'all. That was your Wednesday Jazz Mix. I'm telling you, man, that was smooth. But y'all know what? I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because my music director called me and just fussed at me and said, that's not what I left to play. You done changed everything up. And I'm like, well, no, I just played what you had done. No, that was not it. So they threatened to quit, but we'll work it out. We'll work it out. So that was my bad, but hey, that was smooth too. I got to admit, that was smooth too. I liked it that. So that was good. What you think there, co-host? Was that okay?
I think it was wonderful.
No, okay. So, you know, at the end of the show, go ahead.
She can't quit. She's under contract too.
I know, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay. You know how employees are. They threaten to quit. They ain't going nowhere.
Now you're going to really be in trouble if you keep using that word employee. They get in trouble now.
I know, right? Oh, Lord have mercy. It's all good. It's all good.
Dictionary, hey, you'll get a big surprise.
I know, right?
Have you ever looked up that word in the dictionary?
What's that?
The word employee.
No, I haven't really looked it up. Why? What does it say?
Use. U-S-E.
Oh. No, then I can't be calling them. I can't call them employee then. That's not a good thing. I will be in trouble, that's for sure.
Sure. For keeping you out of trouble, all right?
All right. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to everybody that's joining us in the chat room, East Coast Enjoying Life. And we got a new caller, look like Faceless. I haven't seen them on the show. Well, welcome to the show, Faceless. Then we got Galactic Scientist. That's a smart person right there, Galactic Scientist. So that means, you know, they're out there. And, of course, we got Guest 1566, Guest 1569, and, of course, we got Michelle from Australia in the house. So, hey, y'all, welcome to the show. And I hope y'all ready for a good time. Oh, man, I got you now. All right, so that was your jazz mix. Yeah, I got in trouble. I played the wrong one. But it's okay. Well, I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to make up for it one way or another. I don't know how, but I will make it work one way or another. Anyway, so moving right along with the show, we got what we call our quarter of the day coming up. And the quarter of the day is always profound, because my wonderful co-hosts come up with some great ones. And these quotes just make you think. I think, Monday? Was it Monday or was it Tuesday? I think Tuesday we did a whole show just off the quarter of the day, didn't we?
Yeah, I believe that was Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. So
wait a minute. Tuesday was yesterday. That had to be Monday.
Monday, okay. Yeah, Tuesday was yesterday, wasn't it? I wonder what happened. I don't know. But anyway, so, okay. So that's good. So we're talking Monday then. But that was great. That was great. And that's just how profound your quotes be. You know, so that's a great thing. I like that. So now that I'm chattered and jawed on for a minute, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I want to give a shout-out to everybody on my switchboard also. Area code 561-254-404-626 and 504. Welcome to the show. I'm sure, you know, if y'all wanna have any comments on the show while we're going, just press 1, and I see your hand up. Me and my co-host see your hand up, and we'll get you on the air. See how easy that is? Yes. All right. So without further ado, it's that time, y'all. It's time for the profoundness of my wonderful co-hosts. So without further ado, here we are. Here you go. The quote of the day.
The revolution that takes place in your head, nobody will ever see that. That quote is by Gil Scott Heron.
Ooh, wow. The quote, the revolution that takes place in your head, no one would ever see it.
That's right.
Wow. In other words, you're not helping anybody by keeping it in your head. You got to take some type of action outside of your brain. It's basically what it's saying. Am I correct? Or have I missed the boat on that? Yeah.
No, I don't think you missed the boat, Eric. I think, you know, you can see it that way also. You know, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you know, revolution just means change. And takes place in your head. He's comma. Nobody will ever see that. So I think you're right to extend that thought to after you have the revolution in your head, you need to take action on whatever went on in your head, right?
Right. You know, there's a saying that goes, you know, action speaks louder than words. So, you know, why is it in your brain? It's basically, it's not even words then. So it's just an idea. It's just a thought, you know.
It's a profound.
Okay, you're coming in and out. Are you moving?
No, it's I'm trying to make sure my volume is down low so I don't scratch everybody like I did yesterday. So am I too low now?
Okay, you're good now. You're good.
I didn't change anything.
Oh, okay. Well, you're good. You must be closer or something. I don't know. It sounds like you backed up, then you came back. But okay, you're good.
Another thought in the same venue is watch what people do, not what they say.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's louder than words. This is really the same thought.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. That's along the same thing as actions speak louder than words. So, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We got this. Oh, Lord have mercy. You got a question in the chat room. Say, Sister Ngoni, are you of Gil Scott's generation?
Probably, you know, maybe a little bit after his generation, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm familiar with Gil Scott Heron. Mm-hmm. But I think I would say I was probably a little bit after his generation, I guess. I don't really know how old he was when he passed away. I ain't about to tell him how old I am.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Keep him wondering. That's right. You're only 39, right? 39. That's what I say.
39. I'll be 38 next year.
All right. There you go. That works. All right, y'all. So today we're talking about CPS, and that stands for Child Protective Services. And, of course, we already know they don't do much protecting at all, you know. And there's some things going on, y'all, that we really need to talk about. Flower power and hindrance generation. Wow, that's a – ooh. He calling you low. He calling you old. But anyway, we're going to get away from that. So, Sister Ngoni, since we're talking about CPS, and I need to go and download that clip, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the Child Protection Service has been involved in a lot of scandals for over a decade. Of course, they keep it off news because, you know, they call it the fourth branch of government or the fifth. I don't know which one, but, you know, we know they're bought and paid for, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I was listening at the one of the clips that you were mentioning. Senator Schaefer went into detail about the scandals of the Child Protection Services and how she called it an empire where the judges are getting kickbacks and they're going in taking people's children, some of them while the mother's breastfeeding, in the middle of the night, you know, without warrants, all of this kind of stuff. And then they have a thriving side business where they force the parents of the children to take drug tests. And she said that that's a thriving business where they make hundreds of thousands of dollars just on the drug test alone. They hire people with certain profiles that, you know, they can count on to do this kind of underhanded type work. Also, Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona, she wrote an executive order to do away with the Child Protection Service as it is in Arizona, and she's going to create a new agency But I think that sets off a red flag. These executive orders are getting to be troublesome.
Okay, since you just stole all my thunder already.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's good. That means we kind of on the same wavelength. But you know what? That is so true. And I was just thinking when you were saying that about the governor of Arizona, okay, now we know Arizona has some problems as far as legislation and, you know, over the years. But, you know, it was like she says she's going to create a new department under a certain guy, but that kind of, like you said, that raises red flags, because who's going to watch them then, you know? And plus, you still have money coming in, you know, from the government, you know, as far as placing kids in foster homes and things like that. But we'll get into a little bit more of that in a little bit. So, you know, that is just wow. That's all I can say. That is just wow. But and I think it's important because the story about the toddler that was cussing, you remember him? Well, you know, I thought that, you know, they took everybody out the home, all the kids. You know, the mother's in jail. She was placed in jail. The dad is already in prison. One son is in prison. You know, and they took all the siblings and the mother out the house, put them in foster care, but yet she cannot have visitation with her child unless it's supervised. And I'm like, what's up with that? Then, you know, after doing a little research, I figured it out. For everybody that's in foster care, they get reimbursed between 50% and 80% of the cost of putting these people in foster care. So the longer they can separate them and prove that they're in foster care, the more money the states get. And this money is unlimited. You know what I mean? It's not like they, you know, it's a cap on it. There's no cap on this money they receive. So the more people they take away from their actual families and put in foster care or have adopted, the more money the state gets. Now, of course, they say the money is supposed to go to, you know, toward training and maintenance and things of that nature. But we all know that's not where that money going. That money is going in pockets, in somebody's pocket. You know,
judges.
There was one. Yeah, judges and even child support. I mean, child support people and CPS individuals. You know, they do not hesitate at all in taking these people, children from them, and placing them in.
Well, they're doing their job, but they were hired for. But Senator Schaefer said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Eric, I didn't hear you."
No, go ahead. I think we're headed down the same road.
Senator Schaefer said that judges are getting kickbacks. Millions apiece.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and you know, you have to really look at that like, wow. You know, and you know who stay in foster care the longest? The minority kids, specifically African Americans, and a group you hear very little about. But actually, the Native Indians, they stay in foster care a lot also. But, you know, that's like I said, that's something you won't really hear about. You know.
Well, where would you hear that, Eric?
Huh? Where would you hear that?
They're not going to put it on television too much.
That's true. And this is a eugenic program,
Eric.
Okay, say again.
A eugenics program.
Eugenics. All right.
Yes.
What's eugenics?
Eugenics is what they call race cleansing. You know, back in, I think it was the 40s or 50s, they actually had sterilization policies of certain people that they claimed to have certain IQs. They would declare them unfit to reproduce and forcibly sterilize them. That happened right here in the land of the free, the home of the brave.
Ah, yep, you're right. Let's see, per 1,000 children, 17.4 children are placed, black African Americans are placed in foster care. You know, and that's since 2002 to 2012. And the next group is American Indian, Alaskan Native, and they're at 14.1. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and the next closest is like, what, 10.2, and that's Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander. So if you notice the trend, you know, I don't need to say any more about the trend, right?
Well, that's what a eugenics program is. You know, they mm-hmm. cleanse unwanted populations.
Right.
And also there's a connection. We've talked about the birth certificate issue before.
Right.
And for each live birth, the federal government pays the state $1.8 million per live birth per year until mm-hmm. the child is 18. So the funds you're talking about going to the states come off the birth certificate.
Mm.
And this is a thing that's going on worldwide, not just in America. The same thing is happening in the UK and other so-called Western societies. Now, I don't know about Africa. I'm sure it's going on, but in a different way. I'm sure they don't have child protection services doing it. But, you know, there are other methods that they use in those countries to what they call cull the population or
mm-hmm.
cull the herd. They use those terms. But remember also the 12 governors that were brought together. I forget what they called them, but they made a special committee out of 12 governors. So I want to bring out this issue of executive orders, because executive orders are being written on the executive level at a rate that they've never been done before. As a matter of fact, there's been so many written in the last 7-6 years or so, more than all the presidents in the past history of this country have been written, you know, executive orders. So
mm-hmm.
now that the governors are going to start doing the same thing. So what happened to what the people have to say about anything?
It's not about the people. It's not even
well,
about
I know
the
that,
children.
But, you know,
yeah.
I'm being facetious, of course, but I'm just
right.
going to point that out. Because, you know, when you start with the executive branch and the other branches don't really have any power, which we see that in action, then you're under a dictatorship.
Mm. Wow. Not a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. We had Antoinette on the line here. I think she must have disconnected for a hot minute. So we got a couple of callers with their hands up. So you want to bring them in or you want me to get them on, bring them on in?
For a moment, I need to do something real quick.
Okay, I got it. All right, let's see. We're going to bring 111 in. Welcome to the show. And area code 561, Miss Elvira, welcome to the show. How are y'all doing today?
Well,
I'm fine.
Good. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
All right. let the lady speak.
Okay.
Well,
so
we're polite at the Mr. Talk Show.
Okay.
Thank you. I think this is an excellent subject that you're on today. And I've had, this is one thing I was activist about, is the foster care. And I had one case in Boston that I went to. She's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed young lady. And they were really after her trust fund, accused her of some of the horrible thing, and took her child. She hadn't been able to see her child in 7 years. And then I went there, and then the next thing I know, they was letting her child come home, but they had taken her child and put him in a home with a black, you know, black foster mother. So what you're
mm-hmm.
saying here, this really needs to be talked about. And I've had some similar experiences myself. That's what made me become an activist on it. And I also wanted to tell you about tonight, you know, the baby Austin story, where the little baby was, where she took her baby to be circumcised,
mm-hmm.
and the baby come out with nothing to work with down there. And, she's on Blog Talk. She was on last night, and she'll be on again tonight. Her name is Antoinette Harris.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's interested in going to hear what she has to say about the baby. So she was, like I said, so that's what I wanted to say, and I want to say thank you for listening and great topics you're having. I enjoy your show each and every day. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Miss Elvira. Okay. All right. Let's see. We got Mr. Beasley up next, but let me bring Miss Antoinette in so she let her know her mic is open. But now we're about to hear. Well, welcome, Miss Antoinette, first, and then we're going to hear from Mr. Beasley now. Hello, Mr. Beasley.
Hello, Mr. Falcon. Hello. Hello, Sister Nagonia.
I was gonna say something about eugenics. I would figured you would have been a little bit aware of eugenics, Mr. Talk. I guess you're learning things. Like I learn all kind of stuff on some of these shows that I just did not know about. But eugenics is just how she described, and it's been going on. There's been I don't know for sure that it's a eugenics program what she's talking about with the foster care, but I don't know that it's not either. You know. I don't know that's not either. I don't know that much about it. But eugenics is a real thing. It's a real thing where they, you know, Hitler, what they were doing was a eugenics program where they try to weed out what they consider are the weaker. You know, they want to build a perfect society, society with, you know, no mentally ill, no ugly people. You know, looks and certain traits and characteristics, they try to eliminate that. And there's been a lot of supporters. They say Planned Parenthood was initially a eugenics program. The Bush family was deep into eugenics. They were into eugenics. And they also, Bush's grandfather, George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was either his father or... Either his grandfather or his great-grandfather was one of the first funders. He was the treasury for the start of Planned Parenthood. And the irony there is that he has, you know, that they are now anti-abortion Republicans. But, you know, Planned Parenthood is about abortion. One of the main focuses of Planned Parenthood is abortion. And that they were part of the first funders. So politics is tricky. What exactly is the topic? It's foster care?
It was CPS, period. You know,
yeah,
CPS.
Child Protective Services.
I know
what it is, but I don't know. I don't know too much about it.
They
lit
a hidden agenda, you know.
Yeah, you always hear about something bad going wrong. I mean, you always hear about something going wrong, but I don't know too much about it. The ladies probably do.
Okay.
So far more than me.
Right. All right. Let me bring Sister Antoinette in, because I know she has a couple of stories, because she emailed me a couple. All right, Sister Antoinette, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Mr. Talk. Sister Agonia, I need you to help refresh my memory on this, but remember Russell Means, where he lived at before he died?
Lived in prison, didn't he?
Indian?
Yeah.
He lived
remember
in
that?
Prison, didn't he?
He passed.
No, Russell Means.
I think he died in prison. He was from South Dakota.
Russell Means didn't die in prison. He wasn't in prison. That's someone else.
Oh,
that's
right. He's an Indian activist, American Indian activist.
Yeah, and he had passed. But, you know, they went to his tribe and they started taking the children there.
Okay, Antoinette, I'm going to look it up for you. But, Mr. Beasley, you're thinking of the leader of the American Indian movement. That wasn't Russell Means. Russell Means was an actor and also an activist. Am I too loud?
Who was the one?
No, you sound good.
That was in prison. Who was the one that was in prison for the FBI agents that got killed at Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, in South Dakota?
I'm going to try to look it up for you because it won't.
Please,
it's not right on the.
Please, because it would kill me that I don't
Leonard,
know what I'm talking about.
It's Leonard Peltier.
Yeah, I get them confused with each other. You're absolutely right.
Am I too loud, you guys? I'm trying something with my volume.
No, it's fine.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
All right.
You know, I thought about something you said yesterday at the close of the show, and I think I'm going to start incorporating that into some of the things that I say. because you can say a lot sometimes without even saying anything. You said, well, I was going to speak on something, but I'm going to be nice. And you said it two times. You said, but, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and be nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, Mr.
Right.
Beasley,
I think that's a good way. You're kind of that's a good way to operate.
Mr. Beasley?
Yes.
I learned it from you a long time ago. You said, "I think I'll use my filter."
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, well, the filter comes in handy. Well, I
well, that's
you
what
was.
I was
okay.
That's funny. You got it from me, and I'm thinking I'm getting it from you.
Now, see how we just work? We're all connected, whether we like it or not.
Well, it's good that we can all have some growth, because there's this morning show. They've moved it to earlier, but it's back east. I've been calling on there for a while, and they're conservative. They really are stupid, and a lot of them say stupid things. But so I kind of corrected them on something, because they were acting like all Mexican people were laborers. And I'm like, I don't know what world you live in, but, you know, I grew up in a world here in California where Mexican people are all part of society, from the laborers all the way to the doctors and lawyers and business owners. You know, just because you're in Alabama or wherever the heck you are and you haven't experienced this, you don't sound too... When you label
okay.
a whole group, you don't sound that good. At any rate, the conversation went completely bad, and I cussed all of them out.
Oh, Lord. Hold on for a minute. Who is sitting next to a TV, radio, or something? Because I can hear it. Background noise. Okay. Okay. Well, it kind of went away on that one. Okay. All right. Yeah. Wait a minute. I almost did. I still hit a little bit. Whoever was turned it down. All right. Let's bring oh, Lord have mercy. Let's bring Mr. Lowe into the show. And
to be him. Let's see how he's going to act today.
Hello, Mr. Lowe. Welcome to the show, sir.
Shalom. Oh, how's everybody?
We're doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, man. Just out here in my garage doing a little maintenance out here, and that's about it, listening to you all. And you got a good topic, man. I don't know if you saw the video I posted on my feed on Facebook a few days ago about the lady on YouTube that used to work for. Basically, she worked with the child support people and child support enforcement, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the gist of the whole thing is to have the whole family against each other. The whole family have the children against the parents and the parents against each other. And the woman came on and admitted that they were found trying in some sort of way to have the mother and the father on one accord. They were reprimanded for it.
Reprimanded.
Because it was money that the system would lose.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so they were given awards and bonuses for all the cases that they had, and more cases that they had that were quote unquote successful, in the sense of, you know, having the system to have to make all the decisions for the parents.
That's so dangerous.
Mm. Yeah.
That would make people create a situation where no situation exists. You know, him saying that makes it make more sense, because I'm thinking, how can Child Protective Services really get involved if there's no real issue? You know, if the child's fed and clothed and not being beaten, and there's not, you know, drug addicts or violence around, you know, mm-hmm. how can they really get involved? But hell, you know, you can argue with your neighbor and they can call CPS on you.
That's true.
Here's one of those things about that. You know, and they call themselves going out here and doing these investigations. And some of the most serious violations or injuries to children, they don't do anything. you know.
Right.
But and in the smallest of things, they'll go out there and they'll snatch the kids out the houses, you know.
Right.
And basically what it is under the what they call it, they call it Title IV-E. And what that is, a federal reimbursement for some of the federally eligible foster care or adoption expenses that the state has already paid. Okay? Like I said before, there's no cap on available federal funding and reflects the number of children eligible for assistance. You see what I'm saying? So they can snatch them, and, you know, if they feel like it's a good case to get money, they'll snatch them out and go ahead and you know, get the state back. I mean, the state, the government paying for money. The state reimburses them, reimburses the state for 50% to 83% of the cost, and the state pays the balance. You know, that is just crazy.
I can believe that. Your girl, Margaret Sanger, to go back into that eugenics thing, you know, she was the founder
of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And she actually referred to, and I like to use the term because it's more closely related to the truth, so-called black people, called them human weeds. And she also said that they were, how did she quote that, irresponsible breeders.
Mm.
This was a long time ago.
Yeah, this is the person that
someone talked like that a long time ago, right?
Right. And you think about it, that Planned Parenthood thing is most prevalent in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, I was reading something. I'm not going to cut you off again. Let me finish this. I was reading something a couple of weeks ago. About, I think it was in North Carolina, they had sterilized women without their knowledge years ago. And, you know, supposedly the state came in and apologized. I don't understand how an apology could fix anything on a scenario like that. But supposedly the people of the state came in and apologized for that. And, you know, that's something that they didn't really highlight, you know. They didn't really put that in the news as being something big, you know, and all of that goes into what we're talking about today.
Mm, yeah. And that's the thing, though. You know, it's like, okay, we're not going to have – why should they advertise it? Because you're messing with their money. You know what I mean? You're really messing
mm-hmm.
with their money now. And the corruption, how can I say, the possibility of corruption is just crazy. You know what I mean? Because it's no cap on the money, so you're just snatching kids out. You're really not investigating anything. You know, you go and say, okay,
right.
Let's take them out and put them into foster care. Now, you have to look at it. Foster care parents, they get a little bit of the change, right? The state get a little bit of change. The local government get a little bit of the change. You know, and the kids are just being moved around. They're not trying to
mm-hmm.
be put back in there to keep the homes together. That's not what
they're
trying to
do.
Yeah. You know, African-American kids spend an average of 40 months in a foster care home, you know, before, you know, anything is decided. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to let you know that Sister Hadassah is ready to come in if you're ready for her.
Okay. I'll bring her in a moment. In fact, let me bring Mr. Joe in and Sister Hadassah. Bring both of them in together. Hello,
the way Lo put it, these CPS workers, wherever the area he's talking about in the article that he read, they're
mm-hmm.
getting bonuses, and they it's almost like they have a quota, like the meter maid cop that's anxious to give tickets.
Yeah, that video that I posted was in Michigan.
Mm.
You know,
that's
crazy. But you know, I say one thing: I would bet that stuff like that happens to lower socioeconomic people than it does happen to people that have
mm-hmm.
some resources. That's why it's silly to say it's important not to be poor in this country or anywhere.
Right.
That's kind of things that can happen to you.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm gonna quote. And I know you got people coming. I'm going to quote my former and I don't have one anymore. My former child support enforcement agent. Mr. Lowe, if I had more fathers that handled their business the way you do, I wouldn't have a job.
Hmm.
That's
wow.
what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you would have killed them.
Oh, I didn't need to. I killed them with paying $7,000 beyond what the obligation was on the books and still took care of my child on side of that. So that's how I killed them.
Yeah.
One thing I
want to
know
to
is that 85% quote that you've got there, Eric, is that from child welfare or where?
Yeah, Child Welfare League of America.
Okay. Because that 85%, that's already stating that that problem is already endemic in America. It's systemic. It's cancerous. It's taken root. If 85% of the kids are not going to be returned to their original families, and
mm-hmm.
nothing's being done about it by Congress, what does that say to people? That says that there is a deliberate effort going on to try to separate the family, not only through psychological means, but through physical means.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
But it also can speak to the dysfunction, and I'm sure part of it's what you're saying, but I think it could also speak to the dysfunction of people in society. You know, people get on drugs or go to prison. Some people don't ever come back and reclaim and redeem a so-called normal life.
Right.
So
maybe not, but see, no government agency, as far as I'm concerned, has the right to just intercept kids simply because they're either fat or the parents don't seem to conform to some sort of society's norms or for other reasons. And if the kids, if the people want to go, not want to go, but if they go to prison and they come back dysfunctional as much as they went in, you know, it still doesn't make CPS a darling angel. CPS is still an arm of the government in which they're trying to take the kids to indoctrinate them even further for, as far as I'm concerned, their own treasonous agenda.
Now, see, Joe, oh, I'm sorry, Sister Adasa. Go ahead. I'll save mine until after you comment.
No, I'm okay.
I just wanted to tell Joe that the Child Protection Service is a private corporation that is subcontracted by the, quote, government. All these
business.
Agencies are private corporations.
Business.
This whole idea that we have a government and that these agencies or these departments are governmental departments is false. They're all private.
I always thought that.
CIA, the FBI, the Child Protection Service, the Environmental Protection Service, they're all private corporations.
Could I ask a question on that note?
Yes, Brother Lowe.
Since you said that, could we say that it is, from the show yesterday, a form of witchcraft or sorcery for us to believe that these things actually exist?
Evil.
Well,
so
perhaps, but what it is fascism. Corporatism is what's going on.
I agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with it. Fascism.
Fascism is corporatism, Joe.
Corporatism, corporations which are aligned with the government to fulfill the corporation's agenda.
That's
fascism. And to fulfill the governmental agenda. But when the government sends out notices to try to hire people, they're going to hire people who are privately funded or people who create businesses in order to work with the government to fulfill the government's agenda. So to me, it's not fascism. Somebody wants to take a look at the term and say, okay, it's fascism, but the message, what you're saying, is that it's corporations in league with the government because the corporations in and of themselves are evil. And I'm saying that the government...
No, wait a minute. Hold it. I didn't say they're evil. You don't put words in my mouth, Joe. What I'm saying is... And if you watch the Corporation Nation documentary, then you will understand that what we have been told, that we have a representative government, is falsehood. And like Brother Lowe, he wants to attach to witchcraft. I don't want to really go there right now because I know we'll get sidetracked. But,
we do have a representative government, regardless of whether it's fascism or
don't
not.
Don't go. No, we don't. That's
do we,
a fable.
Do we not elect officials? Do we not elect officials?
What you do is you go and you vote, and then you don't have say-so for another so many years about what's going on. So that, of course, they have to have a system that allows people to think they have a voice and that they have representation. But it's obvious if you look out and see what's going on in this country, or so-called,
Francis,
quote, country,
yeah,
that not representing the people.
I got that. But if we elect them, if we keep electing them, then who's to blame?
Well, you know, I'm not talking about blame. I'm talking about the system.
Well, I'm talking about blame, and I'm using that
as a system. And how we think it was designed, because we were taught that through our lifetime, and it's not true. Now, we can talk about who's to blame.
Do we not elect the officials? We do.
Pardon me?
Do we not elect the officials?
I already responded to you on that issue, Joe. People, let me finish my answer to you, please.
I haven't finished either. If we
elect
them, then who's to blame?
I told you I'm not going to get into the topic of this time, because I don't think people understand the way the system is set up. And the proof of that is you're arguing with me about something that you see is a myth. We have a myth that we have a representative government, because we were taught that all our lives. So when people hear that there are
64,000
so-called government things.
Shut up. Finish.
How about I finish? Try to get the point across low, and then you bring in your freaking witchcraft.
Hey, well, you guys go ahead and argue, because I don't feel like arguing today. Go ahead.
Actually, ma'am, why would it be considered an argument because he's saying what he thinks and you're saying what you think?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, see, when we're going to start talking over each other and so forth, and nobody can hear what somebody else is saying, then to me that's what I'm talking about. And I'm not in the mood today. But if that's what you guys want to do to entertain yourself, go right ahead.
Okay. I mean, I can go play with the dog to entertain myself.
Well, you do anything you want to.
Exactly. Wait. Hold up.
Wait a minute. Stop. Okay, enough of that. All right? Enough of that. Now, Sister Hadassa, are you there?
There you go.
You have something you wanted to say?
There you go, Mr. Talk. you killed all that. It was starting to get good, though. You killed all that.
Yeah. Sister Hadassa, is you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you had something you wanted to add to it?
Not at this point.
Please add something.
I guess we can go right on back to arguing.
Right.
I wanted to listen to what Ngoni was saying.
Okay. Well, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Sister Ngoni going to say what she has to say in entirety, then Joe will respond, and then we'll move on that way. Y'all don't make me invoke the 3-minute fool. Don't make me.
You
want to
bring on the
repeater?
Shoot him!
All right, go ahead, Sister Ngoni,
and then kill Lowe.
Okay, what I was trying to express was, as I understand it, what we have been taught about how this system works—that we have a representative form of government—is a myth. Is not true. Each corporate body, they're all linked together. We have U.S. Inc., which is the mother corporation, which subcontracts these other private corporations, which are traded on the world stock market, and even the municipal, quote, governments are corporations. And they comprise a system that is termed fascism, which is corporatism. Now, that's all I was trying to express. Now, getting into who's to blame and all that, I'm not even going to go there, because that's another show. That's another topic. First, we need to understand what's really going on before we can even determine who's to blame for what's really going on. We got to know what's really going on, in my view. And that's all I have to say. And thank you, Eric, for letting me say that.
Okay, Joe, your turn.
Okay. Representative government, okay, we've been taught that as politicians are supposed to represent us, we know that they don't, because they are in line with the lobbyists, who, of course, are in line with the bankers. Okay, so in terms of that, Ngoni, I agree with you. Nobody would disagree with you on that. When you do elect officials of your own supposedly free choice, and you have the right to either re-elect them or to elect other people, and you keep electing the same idiots, scumbags, traitors all the time, that it has to be somebody's fault. It could either be the government's fault or it could be our fault. I think it's a combination of both. But we have to, if we're going to talk about how to fix these particular types of maladies which are affecting us, we have to talk about it sometime. If not today, then on another show.
Well, the way they have divided our thinking, or most people thinking, is you're either a Democrat or you're a Republican. And there's some that identify as independents, a larger group.
Yep.
But you're a Democrat, you're a Republican. So you're voting for the Democrat or you're voting for the Republican. And we're talking about, you know, like U.S. House of Representatives. And the truth is, they both really represent the same interests and deal with the same lobbyists. So that's why you're not going to make any difference regardless. I think we have a representative government. You put it right, Joe. They just don't represent us. As far as what you're saying, I didn't know that Child Protective Services was a separate entity that's funded by the government. I didn't know that. I just assumed that I'm just assumed that they're under governmental control but I guess they're not.
You serious,
no.
Father?
No. There's a difference, Lowe, between.
Of course.
Look, for example, General Electric, okay? When it wants to have its interests represented, it has lobbyists which go to Washington, and then because of fascism, because of the integration of the corporation's agenda and the government agenda to control people, they will engage in fascism. This thing about CPS, from what I understand, is like the government, they started a particular type of department, and they wanted contractors to perform their agenda, the government agenda. So they have, just like the Defense Department, you contract out to Lockheed, Boeing, etc. Okay?
Right.
So they've got CPS, and they have other agencies which are under the thumb of the government. These agencies do not have lobbyists going to Washington, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? So it's a different thing. Is it an integration of corporations and government? Yeah. I don't think, though, that particular situation with CPS would be considered fascism, but it might be.
But I hear what you're saying, the difference between a private corporation and a public entity that may be formed as a corporation. But if what Lowe's saying is true, and I don't have any reason to doubt that it is, that these people are getting bonuses for referring children into the CPS system
where
they don't come out, then they're almost operating as a private entity. They're almost operating as a for-profit entity.
Absolutely.
That's scary.
I mean, if you think about it, you have prisons. Okay, I get caught on I-10 with 150 kilos of cocaine, and I go to prison. I don't go to prison through the state or the federal system. I go to prison through, IBM or Samson and Brothers. I go to their prison. I don't go to organization.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, not all prisons are privatized.
I'm not saying that they all are, but the thing is, how can you have one? How can you have a private organization house prisoners and run the same organization that the state should be or the federal government should be running, and it's federal funded, it's state funded.
I think that happens because people make proposals and they present it to government how they can operate more efficiently.
That's
government
how it happened with them.
In saving
it's
money.
The exact same thing. It's not going to save a dime. It's the exact same thing as Joe was saying a few minutes ago.
No, it might not be saving much money, but it's saving some money. So part of what government does is create budgets and decides how the budget's expended. And if it costs $50 million to run this particular prison, and the state's been doing it like that, or the federal government's been doing that like that way for years, and then a private entity, okay, can show you how they can run it for $46 million, they go with the they find a way to go with the $46 million. But again, the larger point is very dangerous, because now you've got four prison profits and you've got judges that are being convicted
paid under,
of taking kickbacks and sending and sending away kids for, you know, way worse sentences. It's dangerous.
Into CPS, now there's an incentive to take your kids.
Yeah,
right.
that's insane.
Right.
Can I jump in here for a minute, gentlemen? There's one point I'd like to interject, and that is the fact that U.S. Inc. holds the majority shares in most of these so-called private corporations. They are just sub-corporations of U.S. Inc. U.S. Inc. runs everything. What you're calling the government is U.S. Inc. And all of these other private corporations, you think like General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, why do you think they flew into D.C. to ask for a bailout? If they're private corporations, didn't that raise your eyebrows when you saw all those CEOs come running into D.C. asking for some money?
Well,
private jets.
The reason why that happens is because the effect of them failing, the ripples, the ripples across the economy, it's worth to save them. Then
that's the
ripples
of
the additional problems cost. It's these industries are interlocked with each other. The airline industry is very important.
The bankruptcy system. Also, if they go bankrupt, they can get sold down to other companies. They didn't need the bailout. The bailout was part of a process of just
My point was that, yes, you're right, they're interlocked. But my point is that U.S. Inc., quote, the government, is the mother corporation that controls all the other corporations. And, Joe, if you finished watching the Corporation Nation documentary, which I put a link in the chat room again,
mm-hmm.
It explained in detail how the interlocking works. They're all for-profit organizations, but they are subcontracted by U.S. Inc., and U.S. Inc. holds a majority share in most of the private corporations. So what does that tell you?
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't understand.
It's okay. I can be wrong. If I'm wrong and someone else can correct me, I'm open to learn. But the point is, in this case, I'm not wrong, okay, because the issue is that the corporations all are interlocked, like you said. But when you start talking about a government-funded thing, then that puts you on a different track in your thinking. You're thinking of representative government, and that's not what's really going on. See, corporations now have a greater gross national product than these so-called governments do. So now the corporations are dictating to what the so-called governments.
Oh, we agree with that.
That's already been established.
I know that's the truth. We see that.
Well, see, and that's a... And, hello? Yes. That's your sister, Doc? Yes,
I put a link in the chat room, the last one that I put in that should help make it a little bit clearer for everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Can you say a little bit about what it is? Because I'm not going to be able to look at it, probably.
It tells how the United States is a corporation, and what the different amendments mean. The Federal Reserve came in the Act in 1913, and it's the purpose of controlling the U.S. currency and trading with the Enemy Act, the birth certificate, and everything, so forth.
Thank you.
I understand a lot of that. I just don't understand what you're saying, that the United States Corporation...
Fix your phone, Joe.
Okay.
Has equity in these private corporations.
Oh,
they own shares.
That they do. Who capers? That
they own shares.
Okay, hold on for a minute, y'all, because we done kind of got sidetracked a little bit. You know, but
hey,
y'all
we're
did make y'all, yeah, but y'all did make some good points. Joe, please fix your phone. That hum is terrible. But
better?
Yeah, that's better. Now you just got static, but it's all good. But you know, y'all, some of the points you made were outstanding, especially when you start talking about the economy, because a lot of states' CPS departments are using the economy as an excuse for placing all these kids in foster homes and putting them up for adoption so they can generate more income for their different states and local governments. So, you know, it starts up top, but it rolls all the way down to the bottom. And the bottom line is the kids are the ones that's actually suffering, because you got these judges that's getting paid to place, you know, get adoptions done as fast as they can. They help get that money or the feedback, that cash back, you know, from placing them in all these homes. You know, so
yeah.
that is something we actually do need to pay attention to.
I know somebody.
Do you
yes.
remember the that I sent you? I also put it in the chat room that the Missouri bill, if they get it passed, it makes the parents criminals for owning guns.
Well, yeah. I read that. Yeah.
And I put it in the chat room also. But it's the Missouri Senate Bill 549.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. And basically what they're saying, they have to tell the school if they own a gun, and if they don't tell them they own a gun, they can be prosecuted. It's all crazy law. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, though. I really don't.
She tried to pass last year, but she couldn't get it passed. But
yeah.
They're trying it again this year. But since they're going after getting these children any way they can, and the best way to destroy a nation, a corporation, is to take the children.
They'll sneak that through just like they did 2014, Patriot Act. Was it the Patriot Act or the NDAA? Yeah, just when you had everybody talking about, oh, the Duck Dynasty saga, they snuck that in right behind that. How the hell are the people on the news talking about the Duck Dynasty when you got something important like a bill like that about to be passed?
Because that's by design. That's to keep your mind off of that. If you're not paying attention to what's really going on and you're watching the propaganda that they're putting out, then you can just stay asleep.
Well, you know what? And we still like, and people still discuss that and like to discuss that.
Right. And you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to say it to be derogatory or whatever. My daddy, he didn't go to college. Nah, he didn't. Simple country boy told me a long time ago, you just handle your business. The
right.
government, they not here to take care of you. You handle your business. As long as you handle your business within the law, within the confines of the law, you'll be okay. But once you step outside of that, then you'll find a problem. And, you know, the thing is, all the people that we're talking about right now, the people in Washington that's making these decisions, most of those people have law degrees. And or are doctors. And so these decisions that they seem to need to make to help us ignorant people, they're the decisions that not in our favor. So I'll say this. Until we get a commoner in Washington, D.C. that can't be bought by either side, then, I mean, I just see more of the same, even on your state level.
Everybody can be bought, though. Everybody has a price.
Well, that's not true, depending on who you were raised by. If you were raised by somebody that says, hey, if they throw a bunch of money at you, you take it, then that's what you're going to do. You'll be the whore for whomever. But if you have, well, hey, you speak for yourself.
No,
if,
I'm
if
just
you
thinking.
Have, if
I didn't
you,
say nothing. If, I'm just thinking.
Right. And I know that little mouse is
because,
moving around in your head right now for a reason.
Damn, so when you, someone else, I heard someone else say the other day someone had a hamster in their head and I only got a mouse, but go ahead.
But I'm just saying.
I just heard yesterday someone said, yeah, and that hamster gets to going around in her head. And I pictured it, that a hamster running around the wheel, and then now I got a wheel in my head. Go ahead, Blow.
All
but see, hold on for a minute, Lowe. Hold on for a minute, Lord. Let me. I want to ask this question. You know, because somebody just sent me a text about Guardian Ad Litham. You know, one of advocates. I mean, advocates for kids. But here's my thing: if we have so many of these advocate groups out there, why are we having so? Why is this going on? Are they actually doing something, or are they a part of the problem with this corruption within the system itself?
Man, I'll say they're a part of the problem. And I'll say, you know, hey, they're in cahoots with the system.
You know what? I believe that, too. And they probably set up an advocacy group pro and con.
A what?
They set up an advocacy group pro and con. We were looking into Fukushima, and there was a website. I'll be quick on this because I know it's off topic. But what it illustrates is that there's information out there that is – convincing on both sides, okay, that there is no damage and that there's a lot of damage, and you can keep digging more and more, and it seems like the more you dig, you don't really have an answer. You have a hunch,
right,
but you get confused with the answer. And then I thought of something last night. I was like, you know, this is supposed to be the age of information, but if you keep digging, what you're going to find is that we're really entering into an age of confusion.
That's the purpose.
Right. And I think that's the larger purpose with all of these different issues.
Right.
With all of these different things, once you start studying it and getting to it, and particularly using the Internet, because there are websites. Anybody can create a website. There's websites that are spoof websites.
Right. And they'll put the word satire at the very bottom.
Or they may even not. And they try.
Yeah, that's
and what
true
they
too.
What these spoof what some of these spoof websites do, and they'll quote imaginary doctors, or they'll even use a real doctor and a real person's name. They won't even know they were quoted. And the part of how they get their kicks putting up these spoof websites is that they're getting actual news sources to quote them.
Mm-hmm.
This Deep Sea News had the L.A. Times to quote them. And I'm sure the same type of stuff is happening with the CPS issue.
Right. That's you know what? That's true. And I'll say why. Because yesterday, my wife was watching Steve Harvey. And he had a doctor come on. I think the guy was a doctor or something, who was saying, you know, he was an economist. Oh, yes, there are more jobs now, and, you know, people are, because they had a woman on there that had, came out of college, and she was working on her MBA and seeking employment. And so his thing was to say, oh, yeah, there are more jobs out there, and people are getting gainfully employed, and you shouldn't have any problem if you go out and you're proactive about finding a career. But if you really look at it, the jobs are scaling back. So that's a perfect example of what you just said, man.
Right. No, and he'll have statistics to back it up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There'll be lies, but there'll be statistics.
Once you start researching something, you'll realize if you start thinking about it, too, a website goes up, it looks so official, or even if it's an authentic organization. You don't know who's funding the organization. I know that Procter and Gamble, a big company out of Cincinnati that makes Charmin, makes all these things. They would put competing products out onto the market.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, they would make Tide, and they would also make Ajax detergent, and they would put products out there to compete.
Right, right. Now, if you think about it. Move that over into to the CPS. CPS is out there to make us all think that they're here to help us and to help families that are in distress. How can we actually believe that? I mean, you think, okay, well, Tide, yes, it's too expensive, so I'll take the cheaper brand. But come to find out, if you read the back of it, Tide is making the cheaper brand also.
Right.
So,
right. Right. Procter & Gamble's making them both. Right.
Right. So I'm saying, how can we kind of equate what the CPS could be doing or what we think they're doing into what's actually happening?
Or the information that you're getting, that you're reading.
Right.
So, wait a minute. Let me ask this question. So what you're saying, Beasley, is even though we're getting such negative information about CPS, could actually be false just to, and make it seem like they're doing such a bad job when they're really doing a good job?
All right. This is a little different. The more I'm hearing, I'm having a tendency to believe that what you guys are saying is true, that they're doing this for profit and something else. But I'm sure you can find some information out there with some success stories and what they're considering children that were pulled away from drug-addicted mothers or that were or situations where they were being physically abused and sexually abused. And I don't know, you don't hear too many of those stories, but I'm sure you could find,
I've heard of too many cases where the child may just get a beating, somebody with dirty dishes, but then you're pulling these children out of a situation that you think is so horrible, but these children are going into foster care where they're molested, they're raped.
Those are terrible circumstances.
Yeah, they are, and it's highly possible. It's highly possible, and the thing about that is until that's being seen, until that's being put on the forefront, then you know only thing you have is a speculation of those situations. Until like you perfect example, child comes back. After growing up and I'm an adult and I have my own family and I went through child protective services, whatever.
Right, I'm a survivor, right.
Yeah, I come to find out, you took me out of a home with a drug addict and placed me in a home with somebody that was pimping me out to their friends. And I never said anything because I had a warm bed and I had food. And then,
But once again, see, and that leads to the next thing I'm about to say, you know, who's doing these visits? Who's giving the okay that these places are fine? You know, like Antoinette said, you got these folk going into the foster care. They being locked up in cellars for months at a time, you know, not being fed. But somebody is supposed to be visiting these kids. You know what I'm saying? You understand?
Good point.
Let me play the devil's advocate for a moment, okay? Because I don't know. But I know there's two sides, probably three sides to every coin in every situation. Do we hear about the horror stories more than we hear about the kids that adjust that are in a foster home with good people that are trying to do the best they can that aren't abusing the children? And I know there are these horror stories exist, but in the same respect, isn't it possible or isn't it likely that there's some people that really do try to care about these kids, and of course they're getting paid, but that run a clean foster home where none of this stuff happens? You don't hear about them in the news, and I'm just playing the devil's advocate here because I'm not trying to rile anybody up that feels strongly about this because I don't. I'm just discussing this intellectually. So if we only hear, or if the bad stories only make the news and the good stories aren't newsworthy, then we don't hear about them. So,
but one thing about it, Ron, that's the society that we live in. The news will start out with the worst thing that could happen in the news. That's the worst thing that they'll start out with that. And they'll go through everything else, go to sports and whatever in the weather. And at the very end, when they have 10 seconds left, and on another note,
Something silly.
Yeah. So
secondly, only bad stuff's supposed to make the news. And first of all, when you have that quote that's in the description page, 85% of CPS, those kids now return to their families. That's endemic. Now, if you're talking specifically about foster care, I came in late on that because I went and got a snack, just came in. So that's different than the 85% CPS. Then I'll keep quiet and find and get myself up to speed.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking when we're talking, and I'm applying this to another situation. And then and then the way that we gather our information, and there's so much information available to us, but do we check the credibility of the source on the net?
Good question.
Okay, you're being diplomatic.
Well, you know, well, why not be diplomatic? I'm not trying to rile them up so they'll be picking at me like they were picking at you yesterday.
that was a great question, though, Joe. I mean, Bosley, great question.
Bosley,
I mean, Beasley, I'm sorry.
Right.
Hey, I'm a veteran, man. I'm sorry.
Beasley, can I tell you something?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a friend, and her granddaughter was placed in foster care years ago, and she's been trying to get her back for 6 years. She has a good job. She works for the county. She's been there for over 20-some years.
She wants
all of her children
back.
Grown. She's trying to get her granddaughter that went into foster care when the child was 2, and now the child is probably close to 10 or something. She's been fighting to get her back.
And they put the child
for adoption, but you have a grandmother who has no criminal record, who has a job with the county.
Yeah, that's shameful. That's shameful. And
she's done put out thousands of dollars to try to get her own granddaughter.
Well, that's what
the
system is for. You know.
That's shameful.
Yeah, but what
Why you
to
ask a question like that, Joe? You already know.
I don't know.
I damn sure don't know. I don't have any kids. I haven't experienced too much of this.
Instead of giving the child back to the family, to this little girl's grandmother, then the state would rather adopt this child out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And if it's money driven, this whole thing needs to be exposed in a major way. If
well,
this is what's going on.
Yeah,
because
you just
I don't
brought
think.
It up,
pardon me?
Said you just brought it up. It is a money driven thing. That's why probably
Absolutely.
The kid. That's probably why the kid is still in foster care. Because if
right,
the purpose of foster care is to make that kid arrive at a home which is going to love them. Now, if the grandmother is fighting for them, then the grandmother is showing some kind of love for her own flesh and blood. I wanted to find out what happened to the parents, but if the parents are out of the picture, then of course it's better to have the grandmother who has no criminal record.
Well, wait. Let's harp on that little thing right there. You say criminal record. I mean, if you spit on the sidewalk, you can go to court for that. And then you got a criminal record. So
she has
if I got into trouble when I was 19, don't mean I'm the same dude when I'm 39.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know about that,
Beale.
I got into trouble when I was 19 or 18.
Well, I figured you probably would.
I have to do my best to stay out of trouble now, Joe. But
yeah, right.
I'm 51, so it is what it is.
Let's just say that this is a responsible grandmother that wants her grandchild with her, with family.
Right.
You know, we don't have to play it up too much. Let's just call it what it is, because if there's a situation where you have a child and something wrong with the parents, 9 times out of 10 automatically – that child is going to be with the grandparents, almost.
Wait a minute, Lo. Do you know that
but
for
see,
a fact?
But
you
see,
know
here's
what?
The thing.
That may be before CPS gets involved.
No,
sometimes
but
the grandparents
see,
step in.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing with that. That is part of the problem with the system, and that is they don't even take a look at that. You know,
right.
You can't tell me all these kids that they're placing in foster care and putting up adoption does not have extended family that they can be put with. But then they don't think about that, because if they put it with extended family, then that means they don't get the money from the government.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's
you
not
know, so that is
part
of the issue also.
A lot of people off of it.
Right.
And that's bad. That's disturbing to me. Because the best interest of the kid and the family isn't being looked out for. That's who it's intended to help.
Right. And then that goes
well,
back to...
Well, I was going to say, we all know, I figure that even when you have custody cases and that mantra of, well, we have to look out for the kid, is a bunch of shit anyway.
Aren't they? I'm naive, man. I don't know about this stuff. I mean, my friends have gone through things.
You weren't enough of a friend to be there with them and to comfort them, Beasley?
I'm just asking. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you do. I mean, okay. to comfort them, to give them a sounding board, to listen to what they got to say. They generally respect my opinion. Some, you know, because it comes out blunt, don't want to hear it. But, yeah, I try to guide them and help them through it. And I don't know that much about it, but you try to – when you've got a problem and you've had problems too, sometimes you can't figure it all out by yourself or you see
Absolutely.
Things in blinders. That's what Absolutely. A friend's supposed to do.
That girl
right,
keeps visiting, that girl that keeps visiting you, Beasley, you know, the one that just wears you ragged, is that one of your friends that you try to give a sounding board to?
I'm sorry, is that one of my friends to give a sounding board to?
Yeah.
Man, I'm always listening to her grown-ass kids.
Lord,
oh, see.
I'm always listening to that stuff. That's her life. She's obsessed with them. I'm like, they're grown. I'm trying, and they're grown. And I don't have to say things.
That's a
man,
you know what?
It's like super.
You know
mom.
What, Lo, you're right. You know, to be serious, because the fucking parents have problems with their grown kids, and they're letting their grown kids interfere with the future relationships. That's a problem, all
right.
And it's a problem that's a burden on the stupid ass parents.
Right.
It's super mom. It's a super mom syndrome. I'm seeing it. I dig her, and we're cool. But yeah, that's wow.
Well, I wasn't even referring to you at that particular point.
But that's but it's funny that you bring that up right now, because
go ahead, man.
Before y'all go further, I just thought of perfect example of how backwards this damn CPS system is. Take Octomom. She has all those kids. You see what I'm saying? All those kids. No job, no nothing. But nobody's talking about taking her kids.
Absolutely not.
They may have. I think I might have read. But the thing is,
who would think
they would be justified in doing that?
They've come close. Some of them kids are really cute with their little dirty asses.
What that got to do with anything?
I just know that they're cute. Some of those kids are cute.
Well, let me bring you something relevant, Eric.
A puppy is cute, too. How about that?
Yeah.
Do you think the CPS would have been justified in taking those kids away from her?
If they sent her to prison, what are they going to do?
Yeah, because
she got charged with felony welfare fraud.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know who else I think should go to prison for that? The person that put all those embryos.
Oh, the infertility doctor?
The fertility doctor. I read an article just yesterday. The fertility doctor, lost his license to practice medicine.
Imagine that.
Ah, that's another good topic. Do you think that he should have?
Hell yeah, he did something irresponsible.
Wait a minute. How does he know how many kids the fucking woman was going to have?
Oh, that's another thing.
Hey, Joe.
I didn't think about that.
That lady already was the old lady in the shoe. She already had enough kids.
She had about two or three kids, Lo.
Joe, do you know how many children that woman has right now?
Well, the 8 plus the 3. Let me get on my calculator.
I mean, I think she had 12.
I think she had 4 kids already.
Exactly.
Okay. So 4 on the 8. All right.
Okay. And she didn't have a job, so why didn't CPS intervene in that situation? I mean, you got
So in other words, you're in favor.
You know what? She thought that everyone was going to sponsor her. She didn't know that she was going to get the backlash that she did.
Right.
Well, yeah,
right.
She probably, of course not, she didn't. Then again, the fertility doctor, not only you, but there are a lot of people who would have said, you know, hang him, you know, why is he even thinking about even allowing her to have one or even two more kids when she's already got a brood of four?
You want to know something else?
I remember this is
directly related to CPS type of stuff, but I remember, I'm not sure who it was, but they offered diaper service for a year, and they offered all of these things, and they came into her home. And she ended up putting them out of her home. So those people are out there to steal and indoctrinate your kids.
Absolutely.
That's wow.
But here's another thing, okay? It dovetails off of the doctor. If the doctor had refused, don't you think there would have been about millions of other activists saying, who are you to refuse a poor woman to try to try to control her body so that she can't have any more kids?
No, Joe, that doesn't work in this scenario.
You know what? If that doctor would have refused, I don't think he would have caught hell. She would have just found a fraternity doctor to give her the shot.
I bet you somebody would have found him and then try to make him the poster boy of some sort of Planned Parenthood, anti-Planned Parenthood.
I can't see that.
I can't go with that either. I can see it in America. Anything can happen.
I can see her. Yeah, anything can happen. There's always somebody with an opinion. Everybody thinks they have the right to express their damn opinion, me included.
Imagine that.
Why are you so nice today?
Yeah, everybody's nice today. What the fuck's going on?
Hey, you know, I don't want to be called a hypocrite anymore. That's all. You know.
Oh, well, you
I don't blame you.
Too
don't
late,
blame
Lo.
You. Right. You're gonna live by the book and
you're
try to treat
Lo.
People nice. There you go.
Right.
You don't want to be called a hypocrite anymore.
I'm being nice. I normally try to be nice. I'm being nice.
No, you don't, Beasley.
I
try to be nice here. This is my favorite show. Yeah, I dig you guys. You guys are my friends.
I wish I too was out of line. He would have said something to that.
As far as the Octomom goes, I don't think that there is any way in hell she should have ever been a candidate for in vitro fertilization or any other type of fertilization. I mean, you already got children that you can't take care of, and the state's already taking care of them. What's going to happen with the rest of them?
Was she on welfare at that time?
So, how is she going to take care of three or four kids?
Well, like some other people do, they might have had a job. That's my question.
Did she have a job?
Or was she on welfare?
She was on welfare. Joe, actually,
I don't think she. I don't think she was on welfare. But you know what?
If you got
even with a million dollars a year, Joe, how the hell do you watch after 12 kids?
$100 million a year? Well, they can do it.
If you got three or four kids, and you have a job, and you don't have the big time corporate job order, you still on welfare.
You know what? If you take a look at the reality show with the Gossetts, there was that girl who married the guy who looked like an Hawaiian. She had like 8 kids. She didn't make $1 million a year, and she had those kids well disciplined. She was taking care of business.
Well, I know they looked into the Octomom situation about 3 or 4 years later, and she had a bunch of little heathens, a bunch of little hooligans running around. The house was a mess. They're writing on the wall.
I'm not saying
dirty.
She was a good mother. I'm just asking what was her particular situation at the time when she was trying to get pregnant and using the fertility doctor.
She just, from what I
she wanted her 15
just,
minutes of fame. That's what it
no,
was.
She,
was.
She didn't,
oh, minutes of fame, and she thought that she would get. She thought that she would get nothing but praise and sponsorship,
right.
and everything
right.
would come her way easy. But what she
right.
got was a lot of ridicule because it's irresponsible as hell.
Right.
And
right.
then to add to it, she took a foray in porn videos, and then
right.
she was dancing at a club. I know.
Right.
She,
her body
you know, in the
okay
regular neighborhood,
yeah,
if somebody got wind of that, CPS be beating down the door trying to get in.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm surprised at how she's able to get through with that. She must just be able to. You know what? But when she talks, she comes off as sane, but you know she's irrational.
Oh, yeah, I've never heard her talk. Yeah.
She talks. She's very calm and comes off as like she's in control.
That's fine. No qualms with that.
So, you know, that shows there's some hypocrisy in the system also, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they
Of course.
It's funny what you just said. She when she talks sensibly and calm. And one thing popped in my head, and I don't know why it did. Coming to America when they were at the club and that woman said, I have a secret. I worship the devil. She was calm when she said that, but it was the craziest thing in the world to hear. I don't know why I thought about that, but I did.
That's because
you're right. Crazy-ass people can be calm.
Yeah, like tell you, Lo, you're awful calm.
And we already know about you. So it's all good, though.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to listen at either one of those two short clips?
I haven't. I just sent you a message. No, I haven't.
All right. Because, they were right on the topic. Senator Schaefer, six minutes.
What about Franklin and Gonia? The Franklin conspiracy.
I don't know anything about the conspiracy.
Yeah, okay. Take a look at that. That has deal with sex trafficking by a congressman. And Senator Chambers may have been a part of it. There was a Senator Senator Church or something like that who was.
I think she was talking about it yesterday.
Somebody
was.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She was talking about it yesterday.
Senator Schaefer?
You mentioned Schaefer yesterday, but I think I mentioned Franklin yesterday as well, too. It's part of the trafficking. It's part of the CPS. It's part of the Washington open secret.
I know. Yeah. Okay, yeah, the Republican pedophile ring.
And Omaha, right.
Yes. Okay, I remember now.
Boystown. Uh-huh. Boystown wasn't mentioned, but Boystown was very pivotal.
Boystown still exists.
Boystown used to get some funding.
That was a pretty good movie.
It was a good movie.
With Mickey Rooney and Spencer Tracer. That was Whitey.
And Whitey, he wasn't Whitey. He wasn't the kid that died Whitey.
I don't know. One of them was Whitey.
Who ran across the street?
Yeah, exactly. The kid with the limp.
Yeah, that was Whitey, I think, yeah.
Whitey was Mickey Rourke, and he lost.
Okay.
And he only had one friend because he was a rat. So the whole school turned against him. That was a real good movie. And that was an orphanage home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
My folks used to tell me that.
If I mention Whitey on this show, I'll get crucified.
Well,
please. You've been saying Whitey ever since, I don't know, the past few months.
Whitey isn't as bad as Saltine.
Really?
Really?
I was being diplomatic when I said saltine. I wasn't saying the word. I was treating it like some people say the N-word.
Cracker ain't the same as the N-word. And as far as
you know what?
Let me educate.
Uh-oh.
Cracker.
No more calm.
Cracker was
all right. It's all right.
Cracker was a term of endearment because it was only referred to the man that cracked the whip.
Now I've heard that, but I'm not that sure that's the only origin of the word.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other definitions. That might be part of it, but
okay. Well, the word world has like eight definitions.
One thing that they all are low is that they're racial slurs. Okay, and no matter their origin, they're meant to demean, hurt, and insult. And it's not good, when anybody does it.
Uh-huh. Really?
And stepping back and looking at the bigger picture, that I can't expect people to be sensitive to my needs or to my sensitivities if I'm not going to be sensitive to theirs. It's about
with that.
Right. So I'm trying to be a grown-up. That's all.
I agree. Out here on open forum, I've been in the green room with you. I know what you do.
Man, you should have heard me today on this show that I normally call in early in the morning. I called that woman so many B's with adjectives in front of it.
Hey, shut up, man. I don't want to hear that, man. You finished up years old. Cut that out.
No, she got a good cussing out. She got a real good one, and then the one who's my friend, she was butting in, said, "I don't think a man should talk to a woman like that, and I don't appreciate your language." I said, "You keep on going, you could catch it too." And then she caught it. I won't be welcome back for a little while over there, but that's life.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. See, the parents, going back into the topic, the parents have to be on one accord. Now, there's no such thing as, the lady, treat her different than the guy, make the guy the bad one. Because there are scenarios where the CPS can use that. And the man, I know people right now, they try very hard to have a relationship with their child. They pay child. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, or last week, I read about a man that had
an agreement in court with his child's mother, and he saw his son on a regular basis. He was actually seeing his child more than what was written
right.
down in the agreement, and
right.
he was paying more than what the child support says he was supposed to pay. He
right.
has to spend 6 months in jail because of that.
Hold on. For doing more than what he was supposed to do?
Yes, yes.
How?
Because he breached the agreement.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's still breaching the agreement. Even that's crazy.
That man was doing what he was supposed to.
He was doing extra. He's building
right,
a relationship
right.
with his child.
Right, right. And
it's not, what's the man saying in the rap song? It's not the presence. It's your presence is the essence.
Remember, we're talking about the system and what the system will do to break the families apart. Now, this is just another foolish example of what the system will do to break the family apart. You know, I don't have to have the best relationship with the child's mother, but if I have a wonderful relationship with my child and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and going, you know, my thing is I always believe in the above and beyond thing. So if I'm doing what I know I am obligated to do above and beyond the basic requirements, then everything's good. So how can the system come in and say, well, hey, you paid too much child support. You're seeing your child too much.
That's great. Now let me ask you this. If it was with the approval of the mother, how did it end up in court? How did it end up?
Because once you have the agreement through the system, it doesn't
that.
Matter. Yeah, that's it right there.
But who blew the whistle and brought attention that he's seeing the child two more extra days a week, which is okay
hey,
with the mother?
I have no idea. I mean,
right.
That's neither here nor there to me because it's like, you know, if you have a man that's actually doing what's obligated, that's a good thing in this society that we have now because you have so many that's not going to. But when the CPS comes in and say, well, you paid too much in child support, and in mind you, this man happens to have a job and he has insurance on the child and everything
he
that he
have
is
a
supposed
job.
To do. Exactly that.
6 months in
so
jail.
Now what's gonna happen? He's gonna be in jail for 6 months. So now, okay, the money that he supposedly already has.
Yeah, that's just so ass backwards, dumb, stupid, and wrong.
I'll agree.
That, I don't know. I don't even know how a judge would even think like that. Damn backwards ass Louisiana damn judges. All judges are. You know what? The whole system, all of this stuff is to be avoided if you can.
It is. You know, it is. That's true.
When I was a kid coming up, all of my mother's friends were divorced. Okay. And child support. There were very few couples that I remember staying together, and this was in the 60s and early 70s. So I saw that, okay? I saw that this just doesn't seem to work. And then I saw all the turmoil that went on with child support and seeing the kids and the man hitting the woman and all the different things, not necessarily in my household, because my mother remarried after 2 years, and we were rich all of a sudden. But everyone else's. No, that's my mother made a good move.
You what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and she also impressed upon me about, you know, if you have children, you take care of them, and this is nothing that you want to do right away.
Right.
This changes the course of your life. Get yourself
right.
together first, and
right.
then as I got older, the whole thing with marriage and kids, it was even worse.
Right.
Now that was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Now look at it now.
Right. Right. Because I'll tell you, ain't no way in the hell a twerking video was going to come out of my parents' house with me or any of us involved in it. And there was no such thing as my mama or my daddy or any of my aunties and uncles
sitting around listening to us cussing, laughing at it, and making a video about it. That's something to call CTS about.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that on any social media site that's on the air right now. And they'll laugh at it, and it's cute.
You got the
and nothing will happen.
You got that YouTube of the father that had told his daughters, you don't make these, don't put these dang twerking videos up. And they put him up, and he can't beat him, you know, and he can't put it on him. I wonder if he got in any trouble for that.
I think he did.
There was a judge who put up, oh, no, he didn't put up, but his daughter put up a secret video of him beating this girl, but it wasn't a beating, it was a spanking. And she put it up on YouTube, and the guy lost his judgeship.
Yeah, he did. I was about to mention that, Joe. I was just about to mention that.
Remember that?
All right. Yeah, I was about to mention, I remember that. He was right there down in, around down in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ms. Talk, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but is Antoinette open? She wants to say something. She found the link, the information she wanted to share earlier.
Okay, I'll open her mic up.
All right. Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Antoinette. Antoinette, are you there?
She said she was on 302, but I didn't see 302.
Oh,
I'm
see
sorry.
It.
I had myself muted.
Okay.
I put the link in the chat room, but I'll put it in there again. The Native American children, they took nearly 700 Native American children in South Dakota are being removed from their homes every year.
Hmm. That's a lot of kids.
I believe that. It is. I believe that. Funny thing about it, well, the disheartening thing about it is nobody cares.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if it's not, I put the link back in the chat room.
Mm.
But that's violating their treaty and everything because from what I understand, their children can't be adopted out or anything else.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know some of those reservations, there's a lot, there's poverty, not everybody. Hit the jackpot with the casinos.
Well, see, and that's what. But see, you know what, Beasley. You know, that's one of the arguments. You know, that a lot of people have as far as CPS. You know, why don't they take that money and help? You know, help change their environment as far as poverty and stuff, instead of snatching kids out of the house. So, you know, once again, you know, we back to that same old question. You know, why take them out when you can probably do more to help them by improving their environment and situation? I don't
know. That's not to help anybody.
Me, Joe.
That's not the agenda, right?
Yeah. They explained it. They explained
Excuse me.
It. I didn't even know this stuff was for profit.
Yeah, well, you know what? On this same site that I gave you, they have South Dakota tribes accused state of violating Indian Welfare Act. And you have eight tribes had delivered a report to Congress saying South Dakota is willingly ignoring federal law meant to prevent Native American children.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I can believe that. I'm going to say it like, I'll say it loosely. I'm going to say it like Mr. Solution says. And he makes a great point, and people don't like to use the word or the term, but it's true. If they bastardize those children will go down a slippery slope that they'll never come back from.
Wow.
You know what? This is a United Nations declaration. It's Agenda 21, a depopulation of the planet agenda. That's what this is.
How about taking these children and put them somewhere else? How is it depopulating, though?
Again, say again, Mr. Beasley.
If they're taking these children and putting them into foster homes, how is it depopulating the planet?
They are drugging them. They give them pills to get up in the morning and pills to go to bed at night. What do you think happens to them children when they're there for 10 or 15 years? What kind of person do you think they are? You think they're going to have a normal lifespan? I mean, they're not going to just kill people all at once for 20 million people to drop dead. I think everybody will wake up if that happened. I mean, they're doing it from all different, you know, different angles. So I'm saying it's of a UN depopulation agenda.
I believe
I'm sorry.
Do it from a bunch of different.
I can't hear you.
I was saying, do you think those people would want to have children, those children? Do you think they would want to have children?
I don't know what they would want, but it's obvious that if they're drugged,
you, do you 50, think?
I'm answering you. It's obvious if they are drugged over their lifetime, they may not even be able to have children, Brother Lowe. I don't know what they want.
They might not be able to have, and nor will they want to even consider the possibility of having them because they wouldn't
that
want a child to go through
to an area. I don't try to talk to speak for other people and know what they want and what they don't want.
And there's people that would say
their own culture, their own Indian culture. That's the reason why they have the treaty. It's so that at least that the ones that did survive, that they can still have their way.
And that was the point I was trying to make yesterday when I talked about the definition of genocide under the United Nations Human Rights Treaty.
Yes.
When you take other children away from their ethnic group and when they're adopted or whether they're foster care, when you teach them somebody else's language, which has been done to us, and see, we just don't seem to get it that we are the Palestinians. We are the Indians. The same thing that's been done to them has been done to us. You speak in English, you're not no Englishman.
We're no Palestinians.
Okay. All right, hold on. Let me bring Ebony in.
Here comes
okay.
the Englishman.
Hello, Miss Ebony. How are you doing?
Just in the nick of time.
I'm not actually English. I'm British, guys. Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
For one second, make this talk. You got 2 minutes before you go into overtime.
Right. Yep. 2 minutes for overtime. Yep, I know. I'm on top of it.
After you say what you're going to say, Ebony, tell me the difference between English and British when you get finished.
So what were you saying, Beasley?
No. I said after you speak on the topic, explain the difference between English and British. But after you speak on the topic, because I know that you've got a thought in your head.
Oh, the thought was that I think there's a point about whether people want to have children or not and whether they are or not. I think in the UK what's interesting is that because of birth control, there are a lot of young ladies now in that group of 30 to 40 plus who are spending a lot of money trying to have babies because their bodies won't allow them to have babies, all right? I know so many friends who are trying to have babies, and you're thinking, why is it so hard? You know, maybe because they have spent a good sort of 20 years ever on birth control. And now they want to have babies. There are no babies coming. Right?
Ebony, it's also the GMOs that they're putting in the food that is preventing people from having children. It's a lot of the GMOs that are making people sterile.
Yeah, the GMOs as well, but there is birth control is also responsible as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's different forms of birth control.
Yeah, the different forms. And there's needles in your arm now for 6 months or a year or whatever that girls are putting into injecting stuff into themselves and wearing this thing under the skin. Like in my day, you could use different forms, but I have never heard of anything so kind of aggressive in terms of stopping women from having babies. So, of course, when the time comes and you decide that you're going to have one, it ain't coming nowhere. No baby coming out. So you're going to have to
Let me give you history of the United States, Ebony. From around, I guess, 1920s to 1974, there was an open, and this wasn't against the black women. There was an open policy against all women to have forced sterilization in the majority of the states. And it was open. They had movies about it. So, you know, it's not so crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, the crazy thing about it is you wasn't put here in the first place to lay up and lay up and lay up and say, well, let me get this thing in my arm so that I can't get pregnant. You lay up and you lay up and you lay up. And when you say, let me start taking this shot. Let me get this thing taken out of my arm so I can get me a baby. Then it doesn't happen. You wasn't put here to whore around in the first place. Women nor men was put here to whore around in the first place.
But because society has said that it's acceptable and you can do what you want to and live your life. Hey, man, you can cut me off if you want to. What did the woman
say? I don't mean to cut you
off.
Go ahead and speak. I'm just disagreeing
with
you.
The lady just said that you have women that were in their teens and 20s getting these shots or whatnot and taking these pills or whatnot and say, okay, I have time. I'll wait. And all those years in between, there were plenty of opportunities, possibly, to conceive and have a family. And then all of a sudden now, now it's do or die. Okay, I don't want this thing in my arm anymore. Let me go ahead and, since I have my career established and I'm established the way I want to be. I mean, you have the perfect situation. Oh, I have a great career, a nice home, cars, all of this. And when you want to dig back and say, well, okay, well, let me have this baby now, it doesn't happen. It wasn't made to work like that.
I understand what you're saying. But
you don't have to agree with it.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree. But I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why. Because it's when you bring the book into it.
I'm not bringing the book into it.
Well, you kind of you were making a judgment, or you were saying what we're supposed to be. And I know how you are and what you think, and that you're a man that believes in the book, and you believe that somehow that is immoral and not right. But a larger factor is you have something called hormones. People get horny, and children happen. And it starts happening when people are 15, 16, 17 years old. Now, on the other hand, playing the devil's advocate, and I see the downside of, if that happens with people that take birth control, is it better that they have access to birth control when they're younger and they're really not financially able to raise children on their own and to be self-sufficient and have to become dependent, which lessens the quality of their life and the child's life? Or is it better that they have birth control?
Or is it better that they abstain? Put that in there, too.
But people don't abstain.
I'm not asking you do that.
How human nature is, abstinence is something that doesn't happen.
And it doesn't happen
not because people are wrong or they're immoral. It's because hormones make you horny. People have sex.
That's fine. No qualms with that. Abstinence does happen. Some women nowadays actually walk down the aisle, even though it's custom, with the white dress on, the veil over their face. Hey, I've never had sex with anyone. This is going to be the first person that I've ever had sex with.
And what does this have to do with the Child Protection Service, Brother Lowe?
Wait a minute.
Well,
if
it's all related.
No. Exactly. That's great. That's right. It's all related. Don't jump on me all of a sudden.
It's all related.
10 minutes ago. Women, so I just thought I'd ask.
Okay, well, this is the thing.
This is all related, now, I think.
You have a situation where Ebony said you have women now in their 30s and 40s wanting to have a baby. All those years that they possibly could have, they didn't have one. They chose not to. They chose to do something so that they would wait. But on the flip side, you have those irresponsible people out there, like Optimom, that's got 15 kids, can't take care of any of them.
Yeah, she's irresponsible on steroids. Let me ask you this. Hold on before anybody asks any more questions.
A couple of things I need to get done here. All right, I need to play this clip, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit, and then I have a question I need to ask also. So, anyway, here's the clip. Y'all listen carefully. We're going to discuss it when we come back.
I'm going to go to our guest. Now, I saw a YouTube video of her giving a speech, and in 5 minutes, she boiled everything down I try to explain about the CPS and the bounties on taking kids and how there's no due process. She's State Senator, 50th District. Senator Schaefer serves her constituency in 8 counties that make up 50th District in Georgia. She's got a long, illustrious career out there fighting corruption. She's also the head in her state of the Eagle Forum. And so she now joins us, and we appreciate her standing up eloquently and fighting this. And so we appreciate Senator Schaefer for coming on. Nancy, it's good to have you here with us.
Thank you. It's good to be on with you. I appreciate all you're doing.
Thanks for holding while I was ranting for 5 minutes about the DHS document saying veterans are the number one threat to Homeland Security. Yes. Were you aware they're training the Boy Scouts for gun confiscation?
Well, you know, I've heard that they are training boys. I didn't know that it's Boy Scouts.
Yeah, it's Boy Scouts, school groups, public school groups. This is just one. What do you think of all the new documents coming out demonizing veterans on a separate issue?
Oh, it's awful. It's just awful. It's unconstitutional, and it's wrong, and you just can see the direction that we're headed.
I've got to be honest with you, Senator. I mean, I knew the globalists were evil, but it's even hard for me to believe they're this bold.
Yes, it is.
I mean, training 14-year-olds to go after the military. I mean, this... So that's right out of East Germany.
That's right. This is that community service that we're hearing all about.
Absolutely.
But it certainly has a different definition, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Ma'am, I'm going to try to just sit back and shut up because I'd like you to break down, but with a little bit more time, what you gave in that speech. I know you've given a lot, but I saw this particular speech of you, I believe, before the Eagle Forum, really laying out the facts of just how unconstitutional and Kafkaesque the CPS is.
Right. Well, it is unconstitutional, and I'm sure you have many listeners that know that children are being taken away from their parents in a ruthless kind of behavior by caseworkers and social workers and investigators, and the bureaucracy is very huge. That also includes lawyers and judges and therapists and others who take these children from their parents without a cause. And, of course, we know that money is being made because of this, and I'm convinced without a shadow of a doubt that the parents across this country need to be warned of the dangers of the Child Protective Services nationwide. You want me to just continue on, don't you?
Sure, Senator, lay it out.
Well, the Department of Child Protective Services has become a protected empire that we see going on around us, and it's built on taking children and separating families. As a matter of fact, I could throw in here now that it appears to me that the family is going to have to be destroyed in order for the one-world government to completely develop. But this is the taking of children by a protected empire. And it's this is not to say today that there are not those children who are really being abused, who need to be removed from the wretched situations that they may be in.
But it needs to be done through due process.
Yes, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the families that are having children removed from them with no cause. And then there is no due process available to them after this has happened. And in one county in my district, I had 37 families brought together one Saturday morning in the library to allow them to, without any press and without any Child Protective Services pressure there, to tell their stories. And it was absolutely unbelievable to hear these parents, single dads, single mothers, telling their and other parents telling their stories of how their children had been picked up in the middle of the night, off of the school buses, out of schools, out of hospitals, even while they are nursing, and these families had never seen those children again. You have never seen such agony, such suffering, and such crying. And we had 50 families standing outside the door that were not allowed to come in because we already had 37 families inside. It was truly just seeing the work of the Gestapo coming against these families and taking their children from them, never to be seen again. It was very, very enlightening, that day was, when we saw what was happening in this one Child Protective Services department in one county in my district in Georgia. And not only that, but they had a separate business going on where they required all of these parents to come in multiple times and have drug tests, and they charged the parents every time, so they had a separate business going on. They had already made over $100,000 in this business.
Well, Senator, stay there. Let's come back and break down the abuses of the Bill of Rights Constitution. For those that don't know, they set up at the turn of the last century these family courts that don't follow the Bill of Rights Constitution. They were actually set up to carry out racial hygiene, or they were first called eugenics courts. And that's why they're separate and new and outside of the Bill of Rights Constitution. It's all completely illegal. And it's come out in the news, all these family court judges are getting illegal kickbacks from the private CPS facilities because they're getting federal funds, and they pay the judges, in some cases, millions of dollars apiece. So that's all this is a bounty on your children. We tend to focus on the CPS workers. The real evil is the judges. They're the ones making the big money and the private groups. Stay with us, Senator.
All right, y'all. That was the clip. And y'all
wow.
heard it from
Senator. That sounds like an old Alex Jones.
So,
wow.
Good
old Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Not that he's
right.
Wrong, but I mean
how do you have a chance
a long time
when
ago.
The judge is rigged against you?
What? Yeah.
What? Are you
hello,
serious,
this is Doc.
Oh,
hello, Mr. Todd.
What do you mean, am I
serious?
What do you mean, am I serious?
Michael, he's on the air.
What I mean is there have been thousands of black men that went to court, and the exact same thing happened. The judge was already against him before he came in there. This ain't nothing
oh.
new.
Well, you know what? You know, yeah, but you know, well, right. And
exactly.
You know, I always believe, I tell anybody, anyone I know, you just want to stay away from court, period.
I'll agree.
Period.
Now,
for every situation. No, that problem, pay it. Don't take it to court. I stay out of court. You know, court is not the place. So, yeah, but you would think that there were some things, that there might be something that's fair. But if the judge is just going to decide against you, no matter what, because he benefits from it. Yeah.
Right. And you know what? I'm going to take that back because there have been cases where, for the lack of a better phrase, poor white trash went to court and the judge was against them too.
Right
or wrong.
They're just a very small step above poor black folks or black folks when it comes to the social ladder. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
And, you know,
on.
This
let
was
me,
nothing
me,
against anyone personal.
All right, let me welcome Michael and Maze to the show. And
hey, Karen, yeah.
Hello, me, Karen.
Me to the
huh?
show. I'm
yeah,
happy you
yeah,
welcome
yeah.
me to the show.
What?
Hello?
What I was saying, low, though.
Hello, Mr. Talk.
I understand.
Hear me?
Yes, I can hear Maze. Hold up, Beasley.
I hear Maze and
you, Michael. So y'all go ahead.
M&M.
What you got?
I'm driving, M&M. Mr. Talk.
Huh?
Can I give you my spin on Ella Jones?
Wait a minute. Hold up, Maze. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. What you mean? Why the lady
yeah,
go first?
I'm driving.
My show.
I've been hearing for like, I've been listening for the last 20 minutes. Go ahead and let Maze respond, and then I'll be at the Maze. I just have to make some comments because this is pitiful.
Thank you, Mike.
Make your comments tonight.
Now can I speak?
Okay, Maze, go ahead.
Okay, when it comes to Alice Jones, I don't want to hear nothing you guys say because all he's doing is the commercial and selling stuff. Alice Jones and that lady that just finished talking, they ain't concerned about nobody losing their children. He's just a marketing person that's going out there just lost. That's the way I think about Alice Jones. I've been listening, but when you say Alice Jones, it just strikes a nerve in me.
Oh,
okay.
Cool, baby.
Thank you for that.
No,
all right, go ahead, Michael.
People turned off on him about that.
Wow, Mace, that's all you had to say. Wow. Listen, first of all, y'all was talking about things. Let's get on this Alex Jones. I can hear the senator, but I want to know the facts. Give me the money trail for those organizations giving those judges funds. If you can give them the money trail, you can prosecute them. They will be off the bench tomorrow, factually. That's corruption. And I hear that. But let me say something about all these children. I'm tired of people demeaning these black women in this community. I'm sick of it. Lo, your concepts, I will never say you're a bad man or a bad father, but what I hear, how you talk about other people in the relationship, your concepts is the problem of the world, son. Listen, we always talk about the relationships between a man and a woman, and that's the problem. See, Mr. Talk, they want to demean the black family and say 7 out of 10 black families are unwed, so unwed families may be have no father in the house. But if you listen to Beasley, and like I clearly said back then, before all this quote-unquote time, there was still chaos and confusion in the family. If you set aside all of those black families, that 7% that low, and all these people want to demean and call them bastard children, how can you ever make a word and demean a child that comes in this world and call them bastards? But if you set them all aside, look at all the rest of the people, such as me. I didn't have my children. Both of my children, I was married. I had good jobs. All the other Caucasians, all the other quote-unquote middle-class blacks, that's good. When they get married, over half of them end the divorce. And the ones that are still married are still struggling and going and sneaking on their wife. They just probably haven't got caught yet. So what I'm saying is, Mr. Talk, is that before we talk about and demean these black women, we got to look at the relationships and how the communication is between a man and a woman. You never can blame a woman or either the man. You have to blame both for bringing that child into this world. So we talk about it all day. You just can't look at the black situation. All relationships, white, black, all of them are fucked up and crazy and confusion. Bottom line, that's what I want to say. So stop demeaning children and call them bastards. You should be, to me, you should be ashamed of yourself looking at someone and demeaning them and saying that they're less because they didn't come in the world the way you wanted them. The problem is, no matter how a child comes into this world, the mother, whether they're together or not, they should be in their life. Dad, just paying what child support is not being in your kid's life. So that's all I wanted to say.
What is the definition of a bastard? What is the definition of a bastard?
Fatherless child.
Exactly. No, hold up. What I said, what y'all was talking about when I just heard, so y'all was going all the way around. So, BZ, don't say what I just said is going around a conversation.
He's talking about when you said women having babies. And then now they're picking up
exactly.
women that could
saying.
Not produce a baby.
Why can't I give mine?
No.
A
can
lot
I think
of
about the birth control
term.
And all
My
of that?
My grandmother used to use that term, bastard.
Can I finish? Hey. Because now they're fixing this. So, like you can get a kidney from somebody, you can get a womb from somebody and have a baby now. This is the new experiment that they have out there.
And if
every woman
heard
here cannot
me,
have a child.
Heard,
they didn't have,
that's true.
And everybody,
and if everybody
have a
heard
child,
me. Everybody heard me correctly. I
right.
said
well,
that there
you,
were women that were, that's in their 20s, in their early 30s, and they're only, to me, they're being selfish because, I want to do this for my career. I don't want to have a baby yet. Well, I'm going to lay around and do whatever I want to do. And then when it comes to the end of the road where it's close, it's getting close, well, let me cut all this out and I'll have a baby now. And it doesn't
happen. Well,
was
that choice to make that? It was their choice to do that.
It's their choice to make, but the thing is, if you make that choice, deal with it.
Let me tell you
but
something.
Isn't that being responsible, Lo?
You know, you have some women out there that have babies, and the daddy don't even know who he is. He don't even know who his father was until he turned 20, 18, but she never wanted him to know because she raised him.
I got
friends
like
that.
That's not the scenario. That's not
I got friends like that. Their daddy didn't step forward until he was 20 years old.
If I was a man and I knew because they always blame the sea. And listen, when I want to say something.
Take
when I say things, people
right.
think
man
I may
and I
have, feminine ways because when I'm around women, because I want to balance. When I'm around men and they say they want to dictate, it may seem like I'm taking the women's side because they be a dictate. If a woman would talk and say she queen, she rule, I'll be on the man's side. And what I'm hearing is total crazy and confusion.
So what's your point?
I'm on the man's side 90% of the time. 95% of the time.
I am too.
No,
and I'm a woman.
I'm a man.
Can I say something? I think what's crazy is in what you guys are saying is that there are women who wait. There are women who wait to have a baby. One of the reasons they might wait is because there aren't many men who really believe in marriage anymore, okay? And if you're looking to be married, but guys that don't want to get married, what do you do? If you want to bring a child into the world and you want to bring it in the right way,
some of the guys on the panel right now, you don't believe in marriage, but you're talking
Joe
about
Joe and
bosses.
Beasley, yes. Have Joe and Beasley,
but that
don't
doesn't mean
exactly. You know what?
The trajectory of people who don't want to get married is that systemic.
Well,
okay.
Some men don't want no children. But the truth is, if people are going to bring babies into a unit where you have a mother and father and you have what you might call a relationship that is not one that where you say a child can be brought into that may be called a bastard, then you need to marry that woman. And if
right,
you
nonsense.
Married,
you can live with that. You know, let me tell you something. And I don't know if this is the exception or the rule. My brother was with this woman. He met her when he was 19. I'll shorten it up for you, okay? They had a child. They stayed together until the child was 14 or 15 years old. The little girl, my niece, just graduated from University of California, Santa Barbara, with honors, traveled the world, studied in Spain, and studied in Brazil, and studied in Thailand, and now she's got a job. So she was involved and part of the whole thing the whole time.
That's not every scenario. And the thing about it is it can't be every scenario. I mean, there's never – you won't always hear that. But you will always hear where somebody got somebody pregnant, and this was the father over here, the mom was on the other side, and the child is over here with the mom, and they're torn between both parents, or the dad doesn't have – that's common. We're not talking about the special situation where, my niece went to this and she did that.
No, I'm not saying it's that special. I'm just saying that they stayed together and wasn't married, and the child came out better than just about most people's children I know that are 22 years old.
I guess why buy the cow when you're getting all the milk and butter for free?
My grandmother used to say that too, and that's the truth.
Right.
Why?
Because you're always talking about the cow, but you're not talking about the person that made the person the cow. The one that out there, she might have one baby. You go around the corner, your brother might be sitting around on the other corner. Then you got a sister on one corner from him spread himself around. And you got this one that's sitting there waiting.
I agree with
that.
The man knows who he's adapting.
He should be just as responsible as she is.
Exactly, because let me a man know who he put his sperm into. We know. So when he gets up, he know what he did. I know what I did.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, Michael. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No. Go ahead. I'm done.
Well, I was just wondering, I was just putting some things in the chat room about the research that shows that there's a big decrease in sperm count all over the world, and I was wondering how you think that will have an impact on the discussion y'all are having right now.
Because
people going to sperm banks every day.
Well, the thing to that is it was mentioned before. I think Antoinette was talking about the foods and the situation where men aren't living a more healthy life. Men aren't exercising as much, and some men will rather sit on a couch and watch a woman go to work than go to work themselves.
Brother,
well,
that's
not the major issue.
You have fluoride in the water. You have
GMOs are affecting
food.
People's fertilization. That's the major issue with the GMOs.
Wait, what was the co-host saying?
That's not the excuse, Joe.
We were talking about people wanting to film.
It isn't about lack of activity.
No, the issue is that the man died and she got his sperm and she couldn't get no benefits from having the baby after he had died from his sperm. That's where the issue came. Like, a lot of men stopped giving.
Well, what about
their
children anymore?
I'll stay home. As soon as she come home, I'll give her what she wants.
Okay.
Dinner in her evening newspaper.
There's
a lot of guys.
Men that exercise less and that are less active have less testosterone.
Excuse.
Brother Lowe, do you think that there's any impact from the geoengineering, otherwise known as chemtrails, fluoride in the water and GMO in the food and vaccination, so forth and so on? You think that has an impact?
I believe all that stuff contributes, like you said.
Absolutely.
I believe it's a combination of a lot of things.
When I was in my cubicle today, when I was in a cubicle, that's I'm working, so you're saying my sperm count won't go down.
So you wait.
You gotta watch what you're saying, bro.
Whose mail were you dropping off in somebody else's cubicle?
Okay, he's working in his own cubicle.
I didn't walk that much, though. I didn't walk that much. I set my ass down.
Okay, well, like I said, whose mail were you dropping off to their cubicle?
And low.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Speak to what you were saying.
Low.
They even have commercials on television that make it real clear. As a man ages, naturally his testosterone production lessens.
Goes down.
Absolutely. And
just like a woman produces less and less eggs.
Right. But you can find a woman that's in her 50s and 60s that want more sex than a man in his 50s and 60s without a pill wanting less sex. If he takes a pill,
sperm count is saying
true.
It has nothing. I don't think sperm count
is doing tonight,
to a man's desire or ability to have sex.
I want to go to a show. I want to talk.
Trying to get a date, Joe, while people are talking.
Thanks.
Why? How can you? That is so disrespectful. I'm thinking like, what in the hell?
That's all right. I took care of it. Go ahead.
I was just saying the testosterone level. I didn't say sperm count. I said the testosterone level.
Right.
The less active
count.
A man is. Right. Well, the less active a man is, and his testosterone level goes down. You think about a lot of these guys that play in the in the NFL or whatever. You know, always lifting weights and running and all of this stuff. And one guy I know in specific, Steven Jackson, he plays for Atlanta Falcons. Steven Jackson, great shape, been in the league a long time. Steven Jackson got like 8 or 9 children. You don't get.
So would you call Ray Lewis? Okay, look, Ray Lewis has 5 different children, 5 children with 4 different women. Would you call all his children? That I mean, he take care of his family. I mean, he's
okay,
good.
Brother.
Mike, hold on a second. You say it's one thing to finance children, and it's another thing to be there to guide them and nurture them.
Absolutely.
And if he has five children from 4 women, someone's not getting some fathering.
Right. And
okay.
A perfect example of that, to me, the perfect example of that is...
So money is not
Wait a minute, Michael.
It takes more than money.
Michael.
It takes more than money to be a father.
The perfect
example
of that.
And you know that because you're a father.
The perfect example of that is
because I'm not the richest man in the world. I'm a father. Thank you.
What's the guy's name? Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he got a bunch of kids all over.
One of his children was killed by his baby's mama's boyfriend. And instead of Adrian Peterson saying, "Hey, football, I can't even think about football right now. I just lost one of my children. I'm about to lose my mind." He went out and played football the same week.
Lo, he ain't never seen that child.
Exactly. So there's more to it than just sending money. I agree with that.
And there's more to a man and a woman being in the house together with some children, too, that's messed up. They don't mean that they're all correct either because there was a mother and a father in the house.
Nobody's saying
a lot of men in the house are not spending time with their children just because they got their married to the wife.
Define a dysfunctional family?
And that's what I'm trying to say.
What is a functional family? What family is perfect and not dysfunctional?
No quote-unquote family is perfect. But the thing is, though, back on the bastardized thing, the thing is, hey, if your parents are not married when you are born or you don't know who your dad is, you are a bastard.
Well, it was a whole lot of bastards that were born during slavery.
No. You are a human being.
And they
show
a
great child. You are a human being. Listen, why would you even look? When you do that, listen, you see, You get that from your biblical stuff, and I'm sad to say that I wouldn't bring
that
it up.
From
and
the
I'm
truth. I get that from the truth because why are they telling people that they need to find out?
Let Mike talk. You'll find out what's wrong with you.
You'll find out. Hey, when I get in my 30s, it's possible that I could have a heart attack because my dad and my granddad and my great-granddad
had one. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hello. Back when your dad, your great-great-great-grandfather was a bastard child. Most of them were. So what are we going to call other people bastard children when that's the way they came up? And then you're down your family tree.
I wasn't one. I can't speak on everybody.
And that
doesn't mean you're going to be a great person, either. I'm not, like I said, I'm not, I am not big up to myself. You see, the funny thing is people sit back and think about other people or a situation that they might have had to deal with when we talk about situations like this. Hey, I'll be the first to say, when my daughter was born, I wasn't married, but I was in my child's life. So, hey, if somebody said, hey, well,
okay.
you should probably listen. You should probably be married. You got a girl.
You got a girl that's pregnant.
You should probably be married to her before that baby gets born before she become a bastard. I didn't do that.
But no, Lo, you
the
talked about somebody
is,
taking
listen
pills.
Listen, I don't know.
He just yelled at me like
it
was in rank.
Just call me Lo.
Am I back in basic training now?
You know me on this show as Lo.
Well, there goes the calm. You get that from biblical. See, that's the problem of the world.
You know what, Mike? A lot of people talk like that.
Thank you.
All right, enough. God dang. Man, I tell you, boy, y'all just going. Ain't nobody saying nothing important. Hush up.
Until we meet, Evan was going to say something, I'll be quiet.
Well, you know what, call me master again. I got something for you. I ain't hear that, huh? Alright, anyway, go ahead, Evan, and ask your question.
Close to the guys out there, okay. It's been my experience now getting a bit older. When I date guys, one of the things they don't pay attention to is that little beer gut, okay. I just wonder, why is it acceptable for a guy to have a beer gut where he can't see his down below, right? Whereas when women who've had children and have a good excuse to be looking, you know, a little frumpy, we're okay. We're doing the work. And yet you meet these guys who just cannot see their toes, and it's not acceptable.
Right. And I'm sad
what
because
the heck does that have
I'm
to
sad.
Do with
CPS right
and what we're
back?
Talking about?
I don't
about.
Understand.
Well,
they
you don't have a big enough
hole.
CPS is coming
here
and taking your kids.
Here he go.
Ebony, I'll say it like this. The last photograph that I saw of you, I see why you're running, and you keep doing what you're doing because you look good. What?
Thank you, baby.
Hey, my wife know I give a woman a compliment. That don't mean I want her. But the thing is, for the guys that go out and don't take care of themselves and they stand up and they can't see their Johnson or they toes, then, hey, maybe they don't have good genetics. I mean, you know, hey, everybody don't get it.
I'm from Los Angeles.
If you don't have no guts, you don't have no bucks. That's a success. Tom Bosley, you always make me laugh. I mean,
starve to death if you want
see, when
to.
That guy, but see, when that guy flipped that money out with that big belly, he already know his weakness, so, you know, he doesn't have to rub on it for you.
The next step after putting that money out is CPS.
And I hope not. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
that's
my mother used to say, exactly the same thing that Mike is saying. And she used to say that there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. that every child is here for a reason, and each child has a mother and father, whether they're present or not. And the term bastard, she didn't use either. My grandmother did. But if I think about it, there really is no such thing as an illegitimate child.
No. Right, you're saying they're illegal. Right, it's illegit. That's illegit.
Not illegal. Right,
come on,
no such thing as illegitimate child.
Bro,
children are here for a reason. Right.
My,
no,
I'm glad he said that.
How does
that's
illegitimate go into being illegal? That's my question.
Illegitimate, it implies something illegal, something that's not right.
Okay.
All children are conceived the same way, and all children have a mother and father.
What about the woman that goes to the sperm bank? So that was actually different.
Man, that might be one out of 10,000 women that do something like that.
Me laying down in a hot heat of passion and going, oh, wow, it was great. And a woman going in and a man taking a turkey baster and, you know, making it happen, that's very different.
But was it intended for its purposes, though? If that baby's still coming to the world, he intended a woman to get pregnant with his sperm, and she intended when she get the sperm, she get pregnant. Now, if she takes care of it and nurture it, it's good. So it's
not a
lie.
And probably one in 40,000 kids are conceived that way. So you're picking on an extreme exception.
I'm going back on my
concepts, though.
It's a lie because, hey, you ain't going to sit here on this form and tell me you ain't never laid down, had sex with a woman, and you say, you know what, I'm going to let this one go ahead and do what it do. I'm not expecting anything, but I sure hope that it don't. So
I haven't done that. I haven't been irresponsible. There's been some times there's been some slip-up, and there's been some abortions. But I thought always thought about the consequences.
Wait, Beezy,
you just contradicted yourself, Beezy.
Exactly.
Right. But hold on. Let's not go there.
Well, because I thought
you
about the consequences.
You asked me a question. Yes, I have wrote.
Go ahead.
Listen,
I'm almost 40.
I'm almost 40. I only have two kids. But you're right. I cannot. Listen, if you want to, I have rolled dice before, but let me let you know one. I don't got none out there. It ain't like that, brother.
I'm 38. You're older than me.
Well, that wasn't
wait a
my
minute.
Choice.
Michael, I'm 38. You older than I am. You said you all. No, you was like a year and a half.
Yo, I'm
older
only
than
like
me.
Almost a year
you
older
fought.
Than you, bro. We're
you
around
fought.
The same
you
age.
Fought.
Shit,
you
come
fought.
On now.
Go ahead, take. You take.
No, I'm not 40.
They put their finger up.
I'm almost 40.
They put their finger
up.
Go ahead,
take. Both
and
of
the
you
relevance
are
of
you're on your way to
being
old man and not having no more kids.
What?
You're both washed up.
They put their finger in you. Go ahead and tell them.
The music was to break up.
Oh, that's what it took. Ebony phone to ring for y'all to be quiet.
All right, hold on.
I wasn't doing it. I got one more question before we get up out of here. All right, and I promised him I was going to ask it, and my son came in and kind of sidetracked me. But here it is. Okay, what effect not extending the unemployment benefits have on children that have parents out of work?
Man.
Anybody?
Ask that
horrible. A home collapses. You can't sustain a home without money.
What was the question?
The question is,
what will it do to the home when the unemployment insurance stops, and what effect will it have on the kid?
Yeah.
It's all bad.
I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't hear the question.
That's why I explained it to you, Lo.
Thank you. I was talking to my wife. Okay.
How are we supposed to know?
Yeah, how?
Put your wife on the phone.
Yeah.
I want to tell her about
that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, what was your wife going to tell you about
the question? Put your wife on
the
phone. I want to know how. She must be an angel to deal with you.
And the other part of that question is, will CPS come and take the children?
No, CPS.
Ah,
children.
Very good
no,
question.
They won't. they won't. And I'll tell you why. No, they won't come and take the children. I'll tell you why they won't. Because the unemployment running out is a part of running into CPS. And now you have welfare. And now you have the daddy getting mad, the home breaking up. And you're going to have one parent on one side with children. Most of the time it's the woman. One parent on one side with the children and the other one on the other side. And the CPS, all they have to do is come in and say, hey, you've got to pay this amount to the woman, or you're an irresponsible mom. You pay this amount to the father and the children. We'll get this off top, and everything will be fine. So, no, it won't be a big deal.
So what if the man took the children and the woman?
It can lead to that, though, Mr. Talk.
What if, Ms. Mays?
What if the woman, what if the man took the children and it was just the opposite way around?
Didn't I just say that? God damn it!
No,
didn't I just say that?
Well, I just don't like the term custodial and non-custodial. I don't like that term.
What if they both just did what they had to do together and keep the family together instead of breaking it up anyway?
The welfare
is
not going to take care of the home with the man there.
Where'd you get that from? Women pay child support just like men do.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. So you're saying if a married couple gets in some hard times, the mother and the father, you're saying that that man and woman can't go to social service themselves and get help?
What I'm saying is,
see, they
got to
be married.
Social service
to
give the money.
Okay, I'm listening.
You can't have both. You are more than likely not going to be able to have both parents in the house to receive help. If you have both parents, they'll say, hey, there's too much money being made. We can't help you.
And they sure will say it.
No.
Exactly.
Listen to my question.
Yes, no income.
Right, exactly. Listen to the situation. I'm not talking about they not married. The father's there, and they were trying to kick them out. Like, the social service used to come around and making sure the unwed father, they wasn't married, make sure he wasn't living there with his children. They used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on the door. Neighbors used to cuss. Their boyfriend wasn't staying with them. They would get mad at the girl and call. People used to call them people all the time, had their boyfriend.
How do you know?
They don't
know
that.
How do you know?
How do you know? Because you
watch Claudine. You know
that.
Because
I'm almost 40 years old. And when I was
you
young, they just started ending with it. Read some books from Chicago, from the Harlem Turtle. It's around across the nation. That ain't no lie.
Well, you want to know something?
That's not no
lie. In Los Angeles?
Because when they put the father down for non-support, he couldn't be there.
You want to know something?
That ain't no damn lie.
In Los Angeles, I know many times where the woman was receiving aid for the child, and the guy was right there. And I think that's because Los Angeles is so spread out. The county itself is huge. And they didn't seem to come around. But I can imagine in some places, even
in
a large
city,
where people are more concentrated. I can't remember hearing of too many folks.
You better listen to Curtis Mayfield. Listen to Curtis Mayfield here, Chuck. Don't believe me.
No, I hear what you're saying, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Mr. Talk, at the end of the show, tell all of your fans or listeners to watch the movie on YouTube, Claudine. They can watch it tonight for free.
That's
the movie,
Claudine. Why don't Mr. Talk just call that? People ask them down at the social worker place and or where they go get their benefits. If a man and a wife come in a hard time, what do they do for them? And then we'll know what really happened. We don't need to watch no movie to see that. I understand
mm-hmm.
that.
What happens is watching the movie will show you what
actors.
Has happened before.
Oh, damn it. Just tell us what happened in the movie. I can't remember.
Over 60% of the people on welfare.
We were talking about it yesterday. Diane Carroll and James Earl Jones, they're playing a couple living together. Kid in the closet when they first
know white
America. Yada, yada,
imagine that.
Oh, white America can interpret the movie just like anybody else can. What happened, Joe? I know she had like 5 or 6 kids, and she lived in a tenement, and he loved her, and he wanted to be part of her life.
Joe didn't watch the movie. He read the credits.
Well, that's good enough.
Yeah, as long as I'm talking about what the movie's
I've
about.
I've seen the movie and forgot about it because it was so many years ago.
Besides,
oh,
but
no,
you
go
talked
on,
about
go
it
on
yesterday,
Lo. Tonight and watch it. Go on YouTube tonight and watch it.
All right.
And
all
you
right,
know what,
I just gave
Miss
May,
Miss May, I'm
going to
Miss May.
All right.
Miss
okay.
May.
Okay. Peace be still. Peace be still, dang it. All right. It's 45 minutes past the hour, so y'all know I'm way over. I just like hearing y'all talk for a change.
For
but anyway,
a change. You hear us talk
well,
off,
I mean,
you
know, y'all was kind of nice for a moment, but it's okay.
Yeah, for the last 15 minutes, I've been on my
yeah.
Jesus.
But you know what? I love y'all all. Now I want to say thank you for the great show. I don't even have time to let y'all get y'all final words in because y'all
been
used
word.
Up all the time.
Thank you, Mr.
But it's okay. You're welcome, Ebony. But anyway, tomorrow,
y'all,
is open conversation. Tomorrow is open conversation. So, you know, come ready for bear. Because, you know, I'm sure we're going to get into
I'd
something.
I never thought CPS would have been such an interesting topic. I learned stuff today. I didn't know any of this.
Oh,
I didn't know
yeah?
any of this.
What is
I
your
won't
show
be
about?
Around tomorrow. So, Lo, you can say what
Thank
you want
God.
Tomorrow. I won't be tomorrow, but I'll see you Friday, Mr. Chubb.
No.
So you
I,
can say what you want
what,
tomorrow.
What's your
though.
Show about tonight? What's your show about tonight? I'll call in tonight. How about that?
My show
no,
lets you talk about anything. Call
Friday.
In there.
Friday at
Hello?
9. Get your phone out ready, Lo. Friday at 9.
Friday.
Yeah.
And Mike runs
Friday,
his show. Mike Rhodes runs his show pretty cool. We bump heads a couple times, but he'll mute you. But he'll mute you just like for 3 seconds, so you know to shut up. You'll be like, mute it.
Friday.
Unmute it, and you
Friday.
Can talk again.
Friday. Friday at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, unless
at night,
your name is Joe,
my
you
lady.
Can get muted for a minute.
You can be talking. You can talk.
All right, y'all.
All
right, we can get up out of here. Keep talking now. I'm going to talk. All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
All right.